Thank you very much, and members, you are welcome to this meeting. The agenda is flagged on the screen. We have invited Mpumalanga Provincial Department of Human Settlements and Mpumalanga Water and Sanitation to come and brief us. This is the continuation of the meeting that we had with other provinces. Today we will be meeting with Mpumalanga. I'm going to take this opportunity to welcome DM Masobo and his team. DM Masobo.
Thanks, Your Excellency. Thank you very much for welcoming us.
Hello, Chairperson. Yes. We have received the apology from DM Chwete. Don't be able to join us today. Okay. Thank you. Yes, and DG Changane has indicated they've got a meeting with the Premier of Eastern Cape. So, DM Masobo.
Before we hand over to DM Masobo, I wanted to be excused as well to join the same meeting that DM Chwete is attending. It's a meeting that we're having with the Office of the Premier in Eastern Cape to discuss the performance of the province of the Eastern Cape. So if I can be excused in 15 minutes time, my colleague, the HOD of Human Settlements from Mpumalanga, is in this meeting, and he is very capable. When we are done that side, I will come back to join the meeting again. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, DG. DM Masobo and the is MEC here?
Yes, madam, I'm in.
Okay, you're welcome, MEC. Let me take the opportunity to welcome you and the HOD and your team. And I will then allow the DM Masobo to do the opening remarks, and then followed by the MEC. And then we'll then go into the presentation. DM Masobo.
Well, thank you very much, Your Excellency, Comrade Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. Our MSC, Comrade Mayor, Mahlang, Sisnor, and to the senior officials, both from Human Settlements, national and provincial, and the officials from the department. We have the COO that is leading the team now. And we are very pleased to say that we have invited us, and the acting DG Trevor is here already. So that we will not waste your time, Your Excellencies. We will allow your permission, Chair, to follow the agenda to have the MEC so that members of the Portfolio Committee will interact with the report both from the province and on our side around the water-related matters, and say how are we supporting the province, working with the entity there, which is the Rand Water. There is a leadership of Rand Water here. I could see Ukati Dovusitbega and the other team that are representing the CE. Then we'll be able to quickly make that presentation after your guidance, Chair. After the members of the portfolio committee have interacted with our presentations, Chair, as always, through your guidance, we'll be able at a podcast level to come back and clarify some of the issues. But once again, Chair, we'll be able to demonstrate that in our presentation, how have we taken into account the imperatives of the district development model as instructed by His Excellency our President, and including what happened in terms of the budget adjustment, that special budget that was passed. How have we factored the issue that are related to the two departments in supporting the provincial government of Mpumalanga? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, GM Matovo. MEC?
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Madam Mayor, members of the Portfolio Committees, Acting Head of the Department, Ubaba Nkosi. Maybe before Ubaba Nkosi, my apology, my DM, Babe Matovo, the Portfolio Committee support staff, Department of Human Settlements officials. Greetings to everyone present in this virtual meeting. We are pleased to be given this opportunity to brief the National Portfolio Committee on our Provincial Business Plan 2020-2021 and how the province has incorporated the district development model into provincial work related to human settlements, water and sanitation. Honorable Chairperson, the Provincial Department of Human Settlements Business Plan for 2020-2021 is guided and informed by five strategic points, strategic focus, original housing delivery targets, revised housing delivery targets, the impact of COVID-19 pandemic, and lastly, the constraints affecting delivery of housing. Whether the provincial department business plan derived its existence from Chapter 2, Bill of Rights of the Constitution, Section 26 of the same Constitution requires the state to take reasonable legislative and other measures with its available resource to achieve the progressive realization of everyone's right of access to housing and to ensure no one is evicted from their home or has their home demolished without an order of the court made after considering all the relevant circumstances. Honorable Chairperson, as per the requirement, the business plan outlines in detail the following issues. One is medium-term strategic framework targets, outputs and targets, cash flow projects, project information, plan projects.
Chairperson. Sorry about that, ma'am.
Okay, then.
Chairperson, can the screen please be, we need the document on the screen.
Hello, Honorable Mosala, they are still, is the MEC still making the remarks? They'll put the presentation on the screen. Well, now is the MEC still making his remarks? But in the meantime, can we get the acting HOT to put the presentation on the screen? MEC, proceed.
Hello, Chair.
Yes.
Hello. Can I have the name of the person going to present?
It's Dr. Nkosi, the acting HOD.
Oh, okay, thank you.
This brief will provide the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation with progress made by the Department in contributing towards the DDM, one district, one plan, and one budget for consideration and support. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I will allow the acting HOD to present both reports to the respected portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you, MEC, HOD.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to your good self, the Deputy Ministers, Honorable Deputy Ministers present, the Honorable Members. Chair, I have shared the presentation. I'm not sure if the Honorable Members can see the presentation.
We can see it, Chair.
We can proceed, HOD, we can see it.
With a beautiful rising sun.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable MEC has indicated, Honorable Chair, my name is Dr. Nkosi, I'm the Chief Director responsible for Integrated Human Settlements Planning, currently serving as the Acting HOD for the Department of Human Settlements in Mpumalanga. Chair, the presentation, would like to table this presentation before the Human Settlements and Water and Sanitation Portfolio Committee. We are basically going to take the Portfolio Committee through the business plan. It's a summary of the 2021 business plan, and then also how we as Mpumalanga are contributing towards the district development model. Chair, for that reason, our presentation is divided into two parts, part one being the business plan, part two, then our contribution to the EDM model. Chair, it's quite a long presentation, but I'll try to run through it without necessarily compromising the quality of the presentation. Chair, that is the outline where we are basically going to give what is the focus of the department, what has been the approved business plan, the revised business plan, and then we'll start unpacking the business plan, the performance, and then
HOD, can you wait? Honorable members, can I request that we mute our mic because it's affecting the sound of the HOD. We cannot hear properly. Please mute your mic, honorable members. Proceed, HOD.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was saying, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the first part of the presentation will deal with the strategic focus areas. Then we're going to then indicate what has been the approved, contained in the approved business plan for the 2020-2021 financial year, and then also give a summary of the revised business plan following the budget cuts. We're then going to unpack what the business plan entails, the performance as at the end of July. We've chosen end of July, Honorable Chair and members, because it was following the introduction of Alert Level 3 when we started delivering on our expectations. But because of the COVID-19, there's a recovery strategy and acceleration plan that has been adopted by the province and the challenges that are affecting our plan going forward. And then we're then quickly going to take through the portfolio committee on what is our contribution towards the district development model, which is led by COGTA in the province. And then obviously we'll then indicate what are the projects that we think should find expression in the DDM. And then those are some of the issues that we'll outline before we conclude and make recommendations to the portfolio committee, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, the purpose, as we've indicated, is basically to give a summary of our 2020-21 business plan, we are saying that our business plan, our business plan for the 2020 financial year is indicating what are the sector strategic focus, what were the targets, the original targets for the current financial year, the revised targets, how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted on our deliverables, the constraints that are affecting service delivery. Then again, part two, which is, again, like I said, when, as part of the purpose of this presentation outline, what is our contribution to the DDM, the one district, one plan, one budget. Honorable Chair, I'm very much aware that the honorable members are familiar with where we derive our mandate as human settlements. I'm not really going to waste the time, Honorable Chair. We can confirm, Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, that our business plan is informed by the provisions of the Division of Revenue Act. There are certain minimums, minimum requirements that our business plan is supposed to comply with, and we can confirm that the National Department has approved our business plan in the province, having complied with the minimum requirements in this respect. Honorable Chair, and then I'm taking you to slide 8. Slide 8, there we are unpacking what our business plan really entails to say. We are going to look at the MTSF framework, but obviously looking at the targets for the current financial year. Our plan basically deals with the priorities to say in this, as our strategic focus, we are going to accelerate the upgrading of informal settlements in the province using the upgrading informal settlements program. Also, we are using the IRDP, which is an instrument to invest in the 16 priority human settlements areas that have since been declared by the minister within 10 municipal areas in the district. Chair, we can confirm that they are out of the 17 municipalities in the province, 10 municipalities have been identified, and within those 10 municipalities, we have what we call priority human settlements and housing development areas. Our business plan, which also our focus, obviously, in our business plan is to make sure that we invest in public spaces, ensure that there is a provision of social services and amenities. Honorable Chair, we know we're not a Department of Housing, but our mandate is to ensure the creation of integrated, sustainable human settlements. So for that reason, we need to make sure that social amenities are also made available or constructed in the settlements that we're establishing within our province. I think as part of our strategic focus in the business plan, Chair, we also want to try, by all means possible, to allow the citizens of the province entering to the mainstream economy by addressing issues of ownership, but also we are very much aware that there are residents that are interested in rental housing opportunities, and our business plan does address that. Honorable Chair, we have taken note of the directive by the National Department of Human Settlements to say we need to place emphasis on the rapid land release program. So we are going to indicate that we are going to be servicing sites so that at least we make this land release, rapid land release program, a possibility. Chair, we can confirm that with the technical minimac and subsequently minimac as agreed on certain strategic focus areas, and at the level of the province, we are aligning ourselves with what has been decided by the minimac and eventually resolved by minimac. Now, Chair, the slide 10 gives a summary of the business plan. We're saying out of the budget that has been allocated to the department of 1.8, that was the original budget. Our targets for the current financial year was to deliver 4,245 low-cost houses, that is normally called RDP houses, save is 3,726 sites, but also accommodate the gap market, your middle-income earners through your finance-linked individual subsidy program. Our target for the current financial year was 100, And then as part of the rental stock or rental accommodation, we are planning to deliver 136 community residential units. And also to allow, you know, our citizens entering into the mainstream economy by making sure that issues of security of tenure are addressed. Our intention is to deliver 7,835 title deeds. So this is the original approved business plan, 2021 business plan. And the next slide, slide number 19, indicates that because of the need to contribute towards the COVID-19 relief fund, we have experienced, just like any other province, cuts in our budget allocations. We have seen a reduction in our budget to the tune of 114 million, which then leaves us with 996,000. And also our target restoration grant saw a reduction of 25.1 million, and then we're also then left with 13 million. Sorry, I think I must apologize, 966 million from the HSCG. Now, from this, honorable members, I'm sure you can see that the targets were clear targets on the servicing of sites. The on that first column, the servicing of sites, the top structures that wanted to deliver using the different instruments, the bulk infrastructure projects, which are mostly a certain percentage of the budget allocated to the province is being used towards that 2% that is, but also the provincial government has availed a portion of the equitable share towards the bulk infrastructure and sanitation projects. So those are our targets, honorable chair and members, and the budgets. You can see that with the revision in our budget to fund to contribute to the COVID-19 relief fund, our targets have since been revised, and the third column indicates exactly what are now the revised targets and indicate what is the extent of the reduction that we've experienced. Now, to try and unpack the business plan, we are indicating to the honorable chair and members that we are, as the Mpumalanga province, establishing integrated sustainable human settlements. And we have been using the master plan that was approved by cabinet in 2014, which identified land parcels that will assist us towards partial transformation and in all other policy objectives that the national government has put forward. So we are saying this master plan serves as a framework in all our interventions, all our planning, as well as implementation in the province. We can confirm that over the years up until now, as part of this business plan, we are going to continue to make sure that the 61 integrated human settlements, which we can call mega projects, are committed and are currently being either planned or implemented in line with the master plan. Now, we can confirm, Chair, again, that most of the 61 integrated human settlements projects that we're implementing are actually taking place in the priority human settlements and housing development areas in the 10 municipalities that we've identified. So we've commenced in the previous financial years, and in the current financial year, we're continuing to deliver using the funds that has been allocated to the province. Also, with regards to the construction of top structures, that is for the low income earners, we are indicating that our intention is to deliver 4,191 housing units, like I said, in the three districts of the province using the different instruments. You will see the bullets, honorable chair, indicates the number of top structures that we're going to deliver using the different instruments prescribed or contained in the housing code. Chair, we can confirm that as we are doing this, we are very much alive to the fact that because of COVID-19, there are also other intentions. We need to make sure that the transformation targets are taken into consideration. We can confirm, report the portfolio committee that we have enterprises that are owned by young people that have been awarded projects worth 187 million. That is for the current financial year. And for the first quarter alone, we are indicating that we've already spent $2 million towards the young people or companies that are owned by young people. But over and above that, we have also awarded contracts worth 940 million to women-owned entities in the province. But that is for the financial year, and we're saying for the first quarter of the year, which was the period that we are using for the review purposes, we've already spent 14.2 million. Chair, we are further also indicating that our business plan is not just about the top structures and creating new integrated sustainable human segments in the province, but what is important is the revitalization of distressed mining towns. So we are using the HSD in the business plan or the funding allocated to the province to upgrade the infrastructure in the distressed mining towns, but also the equitable share that the province has made available in this regard. And our focus is mainly on the upscaling, the upgrading of informal segments. And the majority of the informal segments in the province are in the Malahleni as well as Steve 20. Yes, we do have other informal segments in other mining towns like your Tabachiu, and there is attention that is being given to them. We're just emphasizing that the bulk of the issues or informal segments are actually in Kangala, where Stiftshwete and Malahleni are located. So here we're then giving a breakdown of the projects, because we do not want just to say we're going to save 3,426 sites in the three districts without really indicating where we're going to be delivering this site. So we've indicated that the name of the project, where is it located, what is the target for the current financial year. The first slide, the total size indicate the size of each segment, but what is the target that we're going to deliver as part of the 2020-2021 financial year budget allocation. We are also then indicating what is the progress and what are the issues with regards to bulk infrastructure in the project. So we are also attending to the bulk infrastructure upgrade so that these processes run parallel to each other, so that we don't build units, service sites, then we cannot connect. So we are very addressing issues relating to bulk infrastructure. So again, slide 15 is a really clear indication of the projects as well as the extent, the location, what is the status of the project. Then again, under Ihlanzeni, so slide 14 will give an indication of projects in Kangala. Slide 15 is projects under Getsebande district. And then slide 16 and 17 gives an indication of the projects that we are going to deliver sites on under Ihlanzeni district municipality. These are the layout plans or pictures. They are showing layout plans of the projects that I was referring to. So the first, on slide 18, you can see Steve Chwete, Rondebosch, Kwazamokuhle. Slide 19 is in Getsebande, your ML on Mkhondo. Under Ihlanzeni district, you can see Umana in Bushbuck region, Sholozi in the city of Mbombela, and Burlington also in Bushbuck Ridge. Then, Chair, like I said, our focus in the business plan is not just top structures, but the housing units for those that are interested in rental housing opportunities. So we have CRUs, there are seven CRUs or community residential units projects that we are going to deliver within the MTF period. But we can indicate, Chair, that with the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have experienced a reduction in allocation, and we are indicating that 20 million has since been deducted from the initial allocation of 77 million, which then leaves us with only 57 million. So we have since adjusted our targets so that they are in line with the budget that has been made available. So for this purpose, if we're using the existing resources at our disposal, we are going to be able to deliver 136 units within the current financial year. Now, Chair, again, we can confirm that we are going to be building social amenities. There are three projects that we're currently implementing, and luckily these were not affected by the reduction in allocation. Over and above that, Chair, the security of tenure, which is very important to us, we can indicate that we are in the process of delivering 3,200 faculties that have since been registered. We're in the process of delivering these to the rightful beneficiaries. Over the years, we've delivered targets, but in this current financial year, we also have targets out of the 13 million that is available to make sure that we deliver targets to the rightful beneficiaries. So the tables, then, Honourable Chair and members, are giving an indication on the pre-94 and post-94 program, which is a targets program. And then it also gives an indication of the target using the revised budget for the current financial year for the project that fall under what we call the current project, that is under the integrity program. We can report, Chair, that there are challenges, and we've put a very clear plan on how to address those challenges. The challenges relate to township establishment processes that were never finalized, like the opening of township bridges and proclamation, issues where the municipalities have been, hesitating to issue SPLUMA or clearance certificates for a number of reasons. One might be the beneficiary might have made improvements without necessarily submitting the building plans in terms of the National Building Regulations and Standards Act. So we are engaging municipalities to make sure that these are low-income earners, and the people that have benefited from the housing subsidy, and we are working with them to make sure that we're able to deliver targets, but also make sure that we finalize the townships by opening township registers and proclamation. Now, we can confirm, Chair, that the COVID-19 or the restrictions has affected this program, but With the changes in restrictions, we have since worked with our conventors to make sure that they add more people so that we meet our targets come the end of the financial year. And the same goes with the finalization of township establishment processes. Now, we can indicate, Chair, that we have instances where there were incomplete housing units in the province. We came up with a report. That report was presented to Cabinet, and we are going to be, there's going to be consequence management for all service providers.
SCHOD. SCHOD.
Yes,
can you switch on your camera?
Switch on the camera. Okay.
Yes, your camera. Yes. We can proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Now I need to make sure that we are on the same. Chairperson, can you still see me and the presentation?
We can see you and your presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, on slide 26, we are then indicating that we, over and above the 2% of the HSDG that we're using, or that we're getting from the National Department, the Human Settlements Development Grant, the Executive Council has made available funding through the equitable share for us to attend to the bulk infrastructure projects. We had instances in this province where there are sewer pledges, and we are using, as human settlements have been given the mandate or responsibility to attend to all the projects that relates to water and sanitation. In this regard, we are attending to sewer pledges in Governor Mbeki, and there you can see the projects that we're implementing and the value that we have. So you can see, Chair, that the 93 million, for instance, on the three municipalities, that is over and above. It cannot be the 2% that we're using from the HSDG. Now, the other park infrastructure still under Hertz Band, we are also in constructing new infrastructure around Dr. Pixigai Sagaseme to the tune of 34 million. We are also responsible as human segments to attend to the park infrastructure for the parliamentary village that is being constructed under the or within the city of Mbombela municipal area of jurisdiction. Chair, now, slide 28 then gives the performance at the time alert level 3 was introduced to say this is where we are. This was the allocation, budget allocation that was made at the time. 20% of the budget was spent, and 84%, which was slightly above the national treasury benchmark. So we are in the process of delivering on our commitments. We can confirm, Chem, that in the second and also part of the third quarter, there has been a significant improvement because we have since introduced the recovery strategy and acceleration plan that was approved by the Executive Council. So it does not only relate to top structures, but on slide 29, you can see the planning, the integrated human segments that were introducing in the province, is planning the servicing of sites. So at the time when we did the assessment, which we are using for this purpose, or at the end of the first month, we're at 8%, the target is with 16% in the province. Then again, the bulk infrastructure, which we refer as municipal interventions, it indicates what was allocated and what was the progress there. Now, Chair, we can confirm that, like I've been indicating, that there is a recovery strategy and acceleration plan that has been approved by the Executive Council. Now, in terms of that recovery strategy and acceleration plan, we have since been able to deliver or finalize 13 townships proclaimed, and we are now going to make sure that the delivery of target is attended to. And we can confirm that we're working with other municipalities, old municipalities in the province. New integrated municipal project has since been approved, and 10 townships have since been proclaimed for where the informal settlements are taking place. And we have also put in place to say our service providers need to upscale their construction activities during alert level 4 of the lockdown. Contractors are busy on site, and they were then instructed to focus on targets that are nearing completion instead of starting new work. It's the same with targets, Chair. We've put measures in place to make sure that we expedite our delivery. There are issues that we've identified, so we're engaging with the other stakeholders like Home Affairs as well as local municipalities on issues that might affect the delivery of target. Yes, the hard challenge, Chair, like I indicated, with the open reopening of the economy, there has been a scarcity of materials, and that has affected our projects. We are trying to navigate around the issues, but we are working with all the stakeholders to make sure that we deliver on our expectations. Yes, there are new expectations or requirements on the side of the contractors because of the operation and health and safety issues, as well as the regulations, where you find that the stoppage is due to a case of COVID that has been detected. But those are some of the challenges that are affecting our business plan, that we are continuing to deliver top structure service on site, the bulk infrastructure, and we are confident that we are going to be able to meet our targets come the end of the financial year. Chair, I'm now quickly going to take you through what our business plan, the business plan that we're implementing in this current financial year, is also responding to district development plan, as was announced and decided by His Excellency the President. Honorable Chair, what we would like to indicate to this portfolio committee is that before the plan, the one district, one plan, one budget was adopted, in the level of the province, we, like I indicated earlier on, were using the master plan, and the master plan has assisted us to address a number of issues so that we respond to the policy, you know, objectives or constitutional imperatives insofar as the human settlement is concerned. We are indicating that 14 integrated human settlements are already, you know, being implemented, and 83 of those are undergoing planning. So all in all, we have gone to 47 integrated human settlements, but that does not then include the informal settlements, because all in all, then we end up with 61. But we as would like to indicate to the portfolio committee that with this master plan or the integrated human settlements and the upscaling in the upgrading of informal settlements, we are over the MTSF period going to be able to deliver 149,000 housing opportunities. But Chair, that was the instrument. We are using the master plan as a delivery, human settlement delivery instrument. Now, if you look at slide 39, it basically shows the different stakeholders. You have your economic development, your Department of Agriculture and Environmental Affairs doing something else, COPTA doing something else. Now, we are very much aware of what the district development model seeks to achieve. Now, there you can see circled in red, that is the master plan. It basically shows that there has always been this working in isolation between sector departments, which the district development model seeks to address. It will then allow this integration between the different sectors at the level of the province, but not only at the provincial sphere of government, but also with the national departments as well as our local municipalities or the local sphere of government. So the DDM model basically seeks to address or integrate the activities of the different stakeholders by coming up with one plan, one budget for per district. Now, what we are then saying, Chair, is that as human settlements, as a sector in the province, we are saying the priority human settlements and housing development areas, which is what is being introduced in line with the Housing Development Agency Act, which the Act empowers the minister to identify priority spaces wherein there is going to be collaboration from different sectors. It was the establishment of integrated human settlements. So in the province, we are going to be using that instrument. So the project, the integrated human settlements projects, will obviously then find expression in the district profiles, or will then find expression in the district development model in the province. In this slide, we are indicating that a number of objectives that we are seeking to address: issues of land assembly, township establishment, upgrading informal settlements, making sure that within these priority housing development areas or priority human settlements and housing development areas, the rental opportunities are there for those that are only interested in rental opportunities, but also making sure that areas that are distressed, there is that collaboration amongst sector departments. So starting the previous financial year, this financial year, or should I say, over the MTSF period, our focus as part of the PHDA, or Priority Human Settlements Development Areas, this is what should then be used as an instrument towards the DDM, and that is our approach and attitude in assisting in this regard. I did indicate, General Honorable Chair and members, that the Act, the Housing Development Agency, empowers the minister to declare priority housing development areas. And we've engaged with local municipalities and municipalities, full council set and resolved in favor of areas where they want to see these integrated sustainable human settlements taking place within priority human settlements and housing development areas, where all the sector departments will be coming in to make sure that there's an impact without necessarily being all over the place, without leaving focus. So we are indicating that the way engagements with a number of stakeholders before these priority human settlements and housing development areas were finalized and agreed upon before the minister could officially declare them. So like I said, there's about 16 of them within 10 municipalities. And the municipalities, I think I will indicate that you have Bushbuckridge, Municipality, Ngomazi Municipality, the city of Mbombela Municipality, Tabacho Municipality, that those are in the Tanzania District Municipality. So these municipalities, the PHDAs that we've identified, will then find expression in the DDM plan for the Tanzania District. In Nkangala, you have Steve Shwete, Emalahleni, Tembisilehani, and Dr. J.S. Moroka Municipality. So the plans that in there will then find expression in the district development plan or model. And again, in Getsebande, the focus is in Sugalikwa as well as Govanberg Municipality. So those are the 10 municipalities where in this priority human settlements and housing development that are taking place. And it is these projects that, with these priority spaces, that will then find expression in the DDM. So these slides, Honorable Chair and members, are basically indicating the priority spaces as resolved or adopted by the different councils of the different municipalities. And it's the details, I'm not really going to waste your time on that. And Honorable Chair, we are confirming that we are aware as a province that Cabinet has taken the decision that this district development model, like I said, as announced by His Excellency the President, is the instrument that we need to use as for intergovernmental collaboration in the delivery of a number of not only human settlements but all government initiatives in the province. We are aware that there are ministers, deputy ministers, that are acting as district champions in the province, and we are aware that there has been engagements. And we can confirm, Honorable Chair and members, that the Department of Human Settlement has since seconded senior government, senior officials to serve in this in the district development model technical teams. We are in the process, COCTA, being led by COCTA, in the DDM champions, in the process of finalizing the engagement session. And then eventually we are going to have this one district, one plan, one budget. And we are saying our approach, these priority human settlements and housing development that will find that eventually find expression in the district profiles, because we already have district profiles. We know what are the socio-economic or development issues in each district, and that is the information that is contained in the district profiles. So our approach is in line with the resolutions of the district development model workshop that was held on the 13th and 14th of February earlier this year, and which was chaired by the Honorable Premier of the province. So, Honorable Chair, we are aware of the strategic priorities for the five-year period, and we have seized, obviously, with the guidance of the National Department of Human Settlements, know exactly how we need to respond to these priorities. At that level of detail, Honorable Chair, I'm not really going to go into that detail. Safe to say that what we are doing as part of the DDM or the PHDA as an instrument of the DDM is going to respond to a number of policy objectives as contained in the National Development Plan and the Mpumalanga Vision 2020. Chair, we are then indicating to say, for us to monitor our performance, we have clear indicators, the different instruments. Yes, there are going to be changes. The directive that was since been informed of is that there's going to be bias towards the servicing of sites. We're still going to be building houses for the elderly, the child-headed households, the disabled. But our focus, like I said earlier on in the presentation, is going to be on the delivery of service sites to allow those that want to build houses for themselves to build houses. But also within these priority human settlements and housing development areas allows that there is an increase in rental housing opportunities. So in this slide 51 gives a baseline of where we are, what we seek to achieve during the MTSF period. Now the next slide, Chair, indicates projects that are already being implemented as part of the business plan, but also responding to the district development model. These are mega, what I can call catalytic projects, that these are projects that then should find expression in our plan that will eventually be put together, where all sector departments are going to be collaborating in so that we respond to all the you know, the challenges that we normally refer to. So we are indicating, Chair, that there are 14 integrated treatment segments. We are busy implementing them. There are new 47 integrated treatment segments. This informal segments, there is about 98 informal segments in the province that are going to upgrade to level 3 come the end of the MTSF. But for this, for the remaining period of the current MTSF, we have identified 5 informal segments that are going to upgrade to level 3. So even issues of your rental housing opportunities, so your social amenities, all of these issues, these are the projects that then we regard as catalytic projects that are already finding expression in the district profile. And this slide then shows what are the budgets that we're looking at. It is not necessarily talking to the plan for the current financial year, but it shows what budgets are required, the different stakeholders that are going to be involved in making sure that our plan that deliverables become a success. Chair, then again, this slide indicates that there is going to be 3 different district development plans, the one district, one plan, one budget. But we are in the process with us being assisted by the district champions and co-opter in putting together, and other sector departments in putting a one plan for the 3 districts in the province. Now, Chair, as I conclude, we wish to maybe obviously focusing on the business plan itself, the 2021 business plan. We are saying that it is our considered opinion as the province that we are going to be able to meet our target come the end of the financial year. We've put measures in place. The recovery, strengthening and acceleration plan does address exactly that. We have since engaged with our service providers. We know that what is expected from them. So we need to then, you know, expedite or speed up the delivery of the construction of top structures or the servicing of sites. But just as important, that the bulk infrastructure projects, those are also attended to, especially the source pledges around the Hudson Bandit. So we have clear plans that to address these challenges. Now, with regards to the district development model, Chair, we are saying yes, despite the challenges that are affecting the sector, we can confirm that a lot has been put together to using the master plan towards the delivery of integrated human settlements. And these integrated human settlements within this DDM plan are not just going to be somewhere out there, but these are going to be initiatives that are in close proximity to areas of economic opportunity. With these bulk infrastructure projects, we're going to make sure that the project implementation readiness pipeline is confirmed so that it does not affect projects. And also in the process, working with the other sector departments, because the ESCO, the HOSA, in the level of this province, has taken a decision that all sector departments must then come up with sector plans towards the delivery of the social amenities in all the integrated human settlements projects that the Department of Human Settlements is introducing. As I'm saying, Honorable Chair, as the province, Department of Human Settlements, we are then using the priority human settlements and housing development areas as an instrument of the district development model. Now, Chair, we can then indicate that all the different stakeholders are aware. We've since written to different sector departments indicating exactly our plans as human settlements, and it is all of our concerted effort that will assist towards the delivery of this successful district development model, in terms of which we're going to have one plan, one budget per district. It is our commitment, Chair, and we are more resolute as a department that over the MTSF period, or maybe even beyond, but starting this current financial year, using the resources that have been allocated to us, we are going to be able to eventually deliver, especially just is transform special space economy and ensures equal access to all citizens of this province. Chair, now I can conclude with by requesting that the portfolio committee notes and gives guidance on issues that relates to the 2021 business plan, meaning the revised, obviously taking into account the adjustment in budget as well as the delivery target, the progress which then sort of becomes the baseline for the first quarter to see where we were at the end of the fourth month or end of July of the financial year, how the COVID has affected the performance on the business plan, and the acceleration plan that we have since crafted, and that plan has been, you know, deliberated upon and adopted by the relevant authority at the level of the province. But most importantly, Chair, note the contribution that we're making towards the one district, one plan, and one budget, which is led by the district champions and COPT at the level of this province. We don't want to appear as if we are the leading department in the delivery of in this stage DDM model, but we are seeing the using the resources available to this department and the instruments that we are already using, especially the priority human settlements and housing development areas. Our contribution as a sector in this model is definitely going to be a success. With your support, obviously, and guidance. Honorable Chair, I think I'll end there for now. And we are willing to take guidance and comments and inputs from your process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting HOD. We'll now welcome the Department of Water and Sanitation, at the level of led by the acting DG Trevor Bals, to present, and then we're going to discuss all the presentation together.
No, Chair Trevor will be supported by the regional head, Mr. Guma.
Okay.
The presentation has been circulated, and we've agreed with Trevor that the two of them will do the presentation in 20 minutes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. It's a good Friday. It's a good afternoon to you on this Friday. I've got Mr. Guma will be coming in there. He's got the presentation up on the screen. So he will lead in the presentation. And he will also be assisted when we get to the planning areas in terms of the long-term planning. Mr. Luwane Mabuda will come in and just reference on those. I want just to skip over the district development model issues, which have already been covered by the Dr. Nkosi. Suffice to say, to indicate that they are participating in the various working groups. So we will over the DDM, if you don't mind. So, with that introduction, and as we'll try and do the presentation as swiftly as possible in about 20 minutes, if that's okay with you, Chair. Can I hand over to Mr. Guma?
Yes,
thank you very much. Figula, can you go ahead?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister. This is the context of our presentation, situation analysis, water development plan, drought and other factors. District development model, as indicated, will not be presented. If I can go to the provincial overview. This is the overview of Mpumalanga. We are bordering two countries, Mozambique and the Kingdom of Eswatini. We have three major basins which we deal with. The Kumatu-Sutu Basin, which flows to the east to Mozambique and the Kingdom. We also have the Vaal Basin. The Vaal River originates in our province. And we also have the Olifants and the Popo Basins, which I said was these other countries. In our province, we've got 3 district municipalities and 17 municipalities, as indicated by our colleagues. But it's very important in terms of water management to understand that our local municipalities are all water service authorities. Here is an indication next of our large dams which we have. We have significant activity in terms of water transfer, but I also like us to note that in this area, the northwestern part of our province, we do have significant water challenges. And before I hand over to Mr. Mabuda, I'd like to quickly show you something about our water allocation. 57% is in irrigation.
My apology, Chair. Makuma, can you put that slide on slideshow so that it becomes bigger when there are maps? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you for that, Deputy Minister. Here is our water allocation per sector. 57% in irrigation, 8% in domestic, 2% goes into industry and mining, 11% in afforestation, and the whole 21% is actually the water that is transferred out of the province. I would then ask Mr. Mabuda to quickly run us through the master planning planning issues of the province. Mr. Mabuda?
Thank you, Mr. Guma. I hope my picture is also showing. Honorable Deputy Minister, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, members of the PC, and everybody, I would like to quickly just go through the issues, water resource planning issues of the province. Mpumalanga province demands are driven by a number of things. This includes the growing towns like Nelspruit, White River, and the like, as well as many small towns and rural villages. The growing population requires more water, and we plan for that. We have mining and power generation, especially on the high fields, with successful installations. We have irrigated agriculture, application on the escarpment, as well as international demands. We have Mozambique and Eswatini sharing our border, but also some of our rivers co-shared with Zimbabwe and Botswana, especially the Limpopo River Basin. Mr. Guma, if you can proceed. Yes, and we looked at a number of things to maintain water balance in the area. One of the key low-hanging fruits is making sure that we conserve our water and we reduce demand through leak detection and prevention, as well as rehabilitation of existing infrastructure. We also identify the removal of invasive alien plants as a key intervention in Mpumalanga. There's also an opportunity to reallocate water across and within water use sectors. Also the issue of optimally operating our existing systems so that we get more from them. There's a lot of intercatchment transfers, moving of water from water-rich catchments to those that are relatively dry. There is some limited scope of groundwater development, but it's not insignificant. And it's something that municipalities should take cognizance of and develop further. We're also investigating further surface water resource development by building dams, as well as exploiting the reuse of effluent. Mr. Guma, if you can proceed to the next slide, please. Yes, as of now, We have investigated a number of dams at a preliminary level of detail, and they are indicated in these slides. The names there, as we dig them out from the DS office, as well as some local maps, Boshiskop Dam, Mountain View, Primkop, New Forest, and Dingledale Dams. These will be narrowed down to one most optimal dam site that we can then evaluate at a higher level of detail. If you can proceed to the next slide. Yes, with the preliminary analysis that we have done, and here I just show the results associated with an economic parameter that we look at, the unit reference values. You can see that at various discount rates of 6%, 8%, and 10%, the lower unit reference value, meaning the economic cost of water rent in rents per cubic meter, is less for Mountain View Dam as compared to Boshiskop Dam in all three cases or scenarios. This indicates then that at the present level of detail, we think that Mountain View Dam should be looked at in more detail. But the studies that are being initiated to refine this work and make sure that we look at other parameters like the environmental issues, public acceptance, the geological conditions, the amount of water that can be made available for various sizes of the dam, looking at the hydrological studies, as well as other factors. If you can please, Mr. Guma. Actually, I think this will be the last slide from my side, so Mr. Guma can pick up from here.
Hello, please. Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm just having a little trouble with my slide. How can I move it? Okay. Thank you, Chair. Here we can show you the provincial perspective in terms of water services. We have a coverage of 89% availability of water to households and a backlog of around 10.8% with regards to the availability of water. With sanitation, the picture is a little bit grimmer. We have 51.8% of households with access to sanitation. 45.2% have got the VIP toilets, and there's a 3% backlog which we have to cover. I would now like to move to the wastewater issues, which are dominant in Mpumalanga. We've got 77 wastewater treatment works which are managed by municipalities, another 14 by public works. Water treatment plants, we have 91 managed by municipalities, and we monitor these on a quarterly basis. The wastewater treatment issue is pressing, as I indicated. We've got 77 wastewater treatment plants evenly spread from Chatsabande, Gangala with 24, and Nehlanzeni with 24 as well. But if we look at the non-compliant, we have as many as 34 municipal wastewater treatment works which are non-compliant. Chatsabande with 12, Gangala with 10, Nehlanzeni with 10. And these are the ones that are getting particular headaches, particularly in the area of Chatsabande, as these are the common reasons for non-compliance. I think we've seen those before. With regards to the water services and sanitation planning framework, very briefly, we do have a single module which we use for planning purposes. into which we feed information on planning needs. There is the write-up on it. It's a national integrated system for which there is a website which can be referred to. I won't waste time with the assessment cycle, but just to indicate that we do have a municipal priority action plan, which is aimed at looking at the vulnerabilities of the system to make sure that we can reach our target of 90% reliability. We have an action priority action planning process which is applied to the following. The priority district municipality is a Franzen. We were looking into assisting these listed municipalities. And furthermore, the interministerial task team has listed the following municipalities as priority municipalities. So we're looking at where we can assist them in this process. If I move to the vulnerability index, you can see that in 2017, this shows the difference between 2017 and 2018. There was a slight improvement in those years, but the province is not yet all in the green. We want it to be all in the green. If we look at the issues which are arising, it is less like revenue collection, financial asset management, then we come to water resource management and water conservation and demand management. So these are all the factors that we have looked at in terms of assisting our municipality. If I can move quickly to drought, we have injected an amount of, a total amount of 56.8 million into allocations for Dr. J.S. Moroka, Tembisida Hani, Makazeni, and Steve Twete, which as you can see are all in the Kangala area, which I pointed out as being the area where we have water problems. But the areas where droughts have been declared, have been given there. We have recently, in June 2020, had to put in restrictions on the crocodile system, when it damaged the serves more better. Sabi system, as well as the lower cup, so lower Kovati and the Cup River, which services Babaji. Nkobo Dam, which is listed there, is almost a perennial problem in terms of capacity and availability of water. I will quickly leave out the interventions, but lastly, we are finding that in Kangala, we are dependent more and more on equipping boreholes to provide water because of the lack of surface water. Chairperson, I think Deputy Minister indicated that we should be quick. Here we have a summary of our COVID intervention. These interventions were as a result of discussion with our colleagues in COCTA, so that the NIC funds could be reallocated to help us respond quickly to the COVID pandemic. So this was where Tanzania and Kangala have indicated a lot more boreholes to be drilled and supported. Similarly, in Khasabande, and last year, a distribution of the water tanks, which we provided by DWS as part of the COVID-19 intervention, where we were assisted by Rand Water to establish and place these 600 tanks. The district development model I will not go into because I think our colleague Dajeng Gosby has covered this very well and thoroughly in his contribution presentation. I just want to indicate the projects which are in the pipeline. Northern in Sigazi, we're hoping to build a 23-kilometer pipeline that is still in planning stages. Then we have Emalahleni Balgota. Emalahleni, as you know, has grown tremendously in the last 10, 15 years, and we need to increase the amount of water available there. LOSCOP bulk water scheme, this is to ensure that Tembisida Hani local municipality has a steady supply of water, which it doesn't have to share with other municipalities. Right now, it's a bit of an open in that it depends on other municipalities to share their water with them. Then we have the Western Highveld bulk water scheme, which is going to try and increase the amount of water available to the Rustaventor. Here, lastly, are the allocations for, the regional bulk water services infrastructure grant. We have a total allocation of 1.2 billion, which, and we have transferred 286 million so far as of the 5th of this month. Expenditure is about 24%. It is lower than we anticipated, but that's affected by the COVID-19 shutdown. We then have a quarter performance target. We're generally on target with what we'd expect to be in terms of our projects. It is only one project which has a slight hiccup, and that is in the area of Sibange, where one phase had to be stopped because the contractor had poor performance. In Likwa, we're still waiting appointment of an implementing agent to assist with the sewer project which we're doing there. Lastly, let me take your eyes to the schedule, the details of the schedule. If you look on this page of the project details, I would like you please to note that the Likwa Water Services, 2 million, the Upo Sewer and the Likwa Water Supply are all in the process of being put into place after the implementing agent has been put into place. I think you will note that our colleague from Human Settlements has shown that Likwa is really an area where there is a need to assist with the sewer. Similarly, in 6B as well, in Govan and Begi, and also to the extent we were trying to beef up our intervention. Lastly, Chairperson, there is Royalkopen with the sewer upgrade. Royalkopen is also in the town of Likwa, where we are trying to do our best to assist with the wastewater problems there. With that, I think I can wind up my presentation at this stage. DJ?
Honourable Chair, thanks for being there. Honourable Chair, that's the end of our presentation. Thank you very much.
Chair, we managed to keep less than 20 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, DM and your teams. And again, thanks to the MEC and the HOT from Mpumalanga. I'm going to allow honorable members to interact with the report as presented. On the gadgets, there is a three dotted where you can press and you'll see where it says raise your hand. You can raise your hands there. Or on the participants. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome members to allow them to ask or to interact with the presentation as presented.
Your Excellency, if they can remove the presentation on our screen.
Okay, let them do that. I see Honorable Moshala, followed by Honorable Leon. Let's proceed, Honorable Moshala. Honorable Moshala.
Thanks so much, Chair. Oh. Honorable Member.
Chairperson.
Honorable Member, can you remove your logo behind you?
This is exactly what I'm doing.
Okay. Proceed, Honorable Member.
Yeah, no, thanks so much, Chairperson. My first question, I will start with the human settlement. My question is, there is late appointment and poor performance of contractors issue that has been raised in the APP. And then it results in the slow delivery of housing units. So my question is, what are the primary causes of the late appointment and poor performance of those contractors? And the other question, Chairperson, is that one of the key risks identified in the APP is the inadequate beneficiary management and the potential for illegal beneficiaries occupying houses. So what is the current status of verified approved beneficiaries on the HSS, and is there currently a backlog? Chairperson, when I look at the incremental housing program subdirectorate, the one for the one target for 2020 and 21 is sitting on 0 units completed under the people's housing process units in informal settlement. So why is there no plan of the number of units for completion in 2020 and 2021? Same applies to the farm worker housing assistance. It's also sitting on 0. What are the reasons for this target? Chairperson, with regards to the issue of water and sanitation, what is the Regional Office of Department of Water and Sanitation doing? And its oversight of water service delivery in the province, which could be processed and addressed within the district development module, as championed by the Deputy Minister, David Mashlobo, because we can see there's a lot of issues with regards to the issue of human settlement of water. The other question goes to both the human settlement and water and sanitation, for them to provide an overview of the effectiveness of COVID-19 intervention in these two sectors. What were the critical challenges in respect to communities in access to housing and water? Chairperson, Emalahleni Municipality is failing to supply its residents with constant water supply. The municipality have a demand of close to 150 megaliters per day, and the municipality has a capacity of only 110 megaliters per day. And the issue of contamination of water is also a serious crisis in this municipality. When will the municipality ensure that it satisfies the demands of the people? The other thing, Chairperson, the community of Likwa, since they've been highlighting too much of the wastewater treatment centers and everything, has a problem of water and sanitation since 2014. This is due to failure of the current government to maintain the wastewater treatment centers and failure to build new ones. You go to Govan Bay, there has a problem of sewage system and no flushing toilets at all at Nganini, Water 16 and 32. Go to Mkondo in Ward 4 and at Swepe and Msenyani. And you also go to Ward 9 Timbani, has no running water. Sikwalikwa in Ward 13, Brighton Township, Ward 11, Sheepmore. Since the dawn of democracy, they have no flushing toilets and they don't see any drop of water there. You go to Emalahleni, Ward 25 has no running water and flushing toilets. Mpompela, Ward 22 at Binar, there has also problems with water. Bushbuck Ridge, Lilydale, Kirdeh, Ward 26,
they are having a problem of water as well. And just this year in Huntington, Mabahule, Ward 25, the villages were forever dry since the dawn of freedom. All villages rely on buying water from Waterkan. That cost 400 for 2,000 liters. And that is for those who can afford. What about those who are living below the belt of poverty? The same applies with Tabatwewu in Ladenburg. I can't mention it a lot. This government has failed the people of South Africa. 26 years since the dawn of democracy, people are still suffering. I can't mention them. Mpumalanga is in crisis. There's no water. There's no sanitation. The issue of housing is a problem in Mpumalanga. So my question is, when is the government, your government, the NC-led government, going to solve these issues through the Department of Water and Sanitation? Thank you.
Honorable Leon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to thank both the presentations. Thank you for bringing those reports to this committee. I would just like to ask two questions for water and sanitation. I want to find out on the backlog on water and sanitation delivery to households. What plan do the province have in mind how to overcome this backlog? And then secondly, on the wastewater treatment plants in the province, we see about 45% of these wastewater treatment plants are non-compliant. I want to know from the department, how many of these plants have you recently inspected? What is the quality of the water that goes into the rivers? Because we sit in this country with a problem that these wastewater treatment plants, they are polluting our groundwater, our rivers, our streams, and we are not doing anything about it. I want to know how long is it going to take this province to make sure that this 54 plants that's non-compliant, when will these plants be compliant, and what are you doing in the interim to make sure that we don't pollute our rivers? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Leon. Honorable Grace Seke.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Chairperson, for the presentation, and let me also thank the MEC for Human Development in the province for patient done by the Ching HOD. So now let me start with the issues concerning water in the province. The presentation outlining that 57% allocated to water is allocated to irrigation. My concern or my question is that out of the 57% water allocated to farmers in the province, so what percentage is allocated to black owned farmers in the province? And secondly, as much as they're getting a lot of percentage, how much does agriculture in the province contribute to GDP nationally and provincially? The third question, Chair, it's on the issue of water tanks on the COVID-19 intervention done by the Department of Water and Sanitation. My question is that are all water tanks that were allocated by Repas in the province allocated to communities and schools around the province? I'm raising this matter, Chair, because there's one municipality, I think it's in the public domain, that there are plus minus 50 tanks that are missing. So, okay, but, and are you aware of the situation, and what is your intervention chain. And on also on the intervention, I think it's on drought, on the presentation done on drought. I'm having interest, especially Dr. Smoker, because I'm residing there. Areas around in the previous Moraga, areas around 121 or 2, which is your Kutusport, your Falbank actually, what 16 and 17 Falbank, your areas around Kutusport, your areas around Matimpula, your areas around Hamarea, Lifiswan, which they are struggling with water. I tried when the trucks of rent water was there. The municipality has tried to assist with my intervention too. But I don't see a program that is sustainable to be able to assist the communities around there. If you go there, even now you can cry tears because there are a lot of challenges of people without water. And the other you know, there's around and there's a very big reservoir that was by the municipality around 2016, 17, 18. A very huge reservoir, white elephant standing there. Where is it going to get water? So the department is an answer. I'm of the view that let the department invest and just tell the community. Hip around to say why did the municipality build it? Because it has cost taxpayers money. It's cost, I think, plus minus 52 million. But as we're speaking, it's not working. There's no water inside that reservoir. On the human settlement presentation, one, we appreciate the progress and the programs to be implemented by the department for the year 2020-21. But HOT, your presentation is quite with regard to, or in terms of the transformation targets, we appreciate that on the end of women and your presentation is quite with regard to people with disabilities, empowering people with disabilities. And those are the sectors that we must be able to empower. On the other matter, MEC Mashangu, lots and lots of houses around the province. I can cite examples around 25 in Siavi, where we have quality of houses that were constructed by our contractors. So I'm trying to check, because your presentation is quiet with regard to rectification programs. I'm trying to check how can the department intervene in that matter, in making sure that we complete the incomplete houses and those with some bit of challenges in terms of quality, we assist our communities. Remember, they are looking at us, their hope and confidence is with this government. As much as we have delivered more houses on people, but there are other challenges that we are still facing that we must be able to intervene. And with regard to the job creation, the presentation is quite both your human settlement and your water. Your presentation is quite in terms of the targets with regard to job creation. Unemployment is high, it's rife in our province, especially to young people, to the women in this country. So we want to see, we have to display to this committee how are you going to get the picture you are managing, how are you going to create a job actually in the province. The last one, Chair, is on the, I think it's also in the public domain, the issue of, there was one family, G.M. Mashabo knows the story. The one family which was evicted by farmers around the area of Mukondo. Around the areas of Mukondo. I think it is, I'm trying to check how is the Department of Human Settlement zooming in to assist that family. Currently they are updated in the community hall around that area. But I think it is our responsibility as the Department of Human Settlement and of this government to make sure that we intervene. Hence, we have development around the Mukondo municipality. I think we have to be able to assist them. Chair, thanks very much. These are my few comments. And
thank you very much, Honorable Zeke. Honorable Robert Mashego, those that have spoken, can you lower your hand?
Chairperson, thank you, Chair. I just hope that the officials who are presenting here, they are not answering, they are not giving us a
we've lost you, Mashego. Honorable,
yeah.
Mashego. Okay.
No, but it keeps on saying I'm muted by the host.
Okay. Host, please don't mute Mr. Mashego. Mr. Mashego, proceed.
Hello. Oh my God.
We can hear you. Proceed.
Okay, thanks. So I was saying, listening to the presentation, there is things that are too good to be heard, but if it is true, we must give thanks to that. But let me just ask questions for special setting from the human settlement. Human settlement, I know that in Mpumalanga, you have got quite a lot of military veterans that are residing in your area. And you only plan to build 17 houses in the financial year that we are talking about. And I know that you can move from Libombo, cross Libombo, you go to Osuup, you go to Eswatini, Mbuzini, Kimbawati. That's the area where our people used to cross into these other areas. And we have got quite a lot of MK members there, not only MK, but the military veterans that are residing there. You're also planning to build 17 houses. I know you relied very heavily on military veterans department, but I think 17 is just not good enough. In your title sheet, you have given away quite a lot of money on title deeds, even the ones prior 1994 and post 1994. And part of the work that you have said, I wanted to give these title deeds away to their owners because it gives quite a lot of confidence to our people who, if they have got their title deeds. Your plan is even wanting to act down on us. I don't understand why. Chair, on the... you have spent 20 million rand in Bombela on human settlement only to build parliamentary house. The communities have not benefited from the settlement and only built their property. Why did you do that? Is it very of importance to you to build parliamentary houses as compared to houses for the people that need houses? You are not telling us there, Chair, that in Mpumalanga, I know you have quite a lot of traditional leaders. One of them is myself, Inna Hoshi, Yamashio, Yamapulani. We are struggling with yourself with land. You are not telling us what is the problem of that you are envisaging that you are encountering in the land issue, and what is the plan to deal with that? It is, and I think the first reason that you are planning, there is only one area going to build houses. It is in Burlington, and I know where Burlington is, and it might be where Member Mshala is talking about, because there are by-elections there in 126, and she was there, I've seen her, she's campaigning. That's why she's talking about that area. And it is the only area you are talking about. And the whole area of Bushbuck Greenwich, you can go to Engine Court, Zanzia, Mariti, and all the areas. People that does not have houses there, but you only want to build in Bellington only. I don't understand why. In human settlement, you are talking about the smart city post-apartheid. But in these areas where you want to build these houses, it's only in areas of towns, your Khetivande, your Emalahleni. You are not planning to build in our rural areas where our people are still. You see, there are people in our rural areas who have not seen what democracy is all about. You can go to areas like Belfast, the Belfast on the other side of Ranzekile. They don't even know where town is. And you are not planning to build something to that particular town. On water, Chair, you are saying you are giving 57% of your water of Mpumalanga to irrigation. Are they paying for this water? If they are, what is the turnover of the money that they are paying? Because you are only giving people 8% of your water. Otherwise, you are giving 57% of water to irrigate. And I know, I'm not saying irrigation is not big in Mpumalanga. There is, you can go to your Kippers Hall, you go to all other places where you get plantations. But 57% is too much, and our people does not have water. And where there is water, I know there is no regulation by the municipality. So we still have people that are lacking in terms of water. Chair, just as an embassy, I grew up in Bushbuck Ridge, where I'm staying in an area called Zanzia. There is no, you are talking about your sanitation, your toilet, and so forth and so on. In that area, there is no toilet. It's either you dig yourself, it's a pit toilet, or you go to the bush. And you're not, in your categories here, you're not talking about those areas where, and it's not only in Zanzia, you can go to Engine Court, you go to area, you go to Stream, you go to Rolle, you go to, there are Twiston, there is no toilet whatsoever. There's no, for the bit of a plantation does not exist. It's a pit toilet. Even your, what you call your VIP toilets are not even supplied in those areas. And there is no plan in your water program to want to put those particular toilets for the people to the benefit of those. And you want to, I can see that you want to deal with Marvin Jahan. I know Marvin Jahan is just near Nyaka Dam, so yeah, maybe you want Nyaka Dam to benefit Marvin Jahan. It's fine. But I find a lot of dams that you have mentioned here that can help us with the sanitation. Now, Chair, just in closing, officials were asked political questions as to what did the ANC do since 24 years ago. I know that officials will not be in a position to answer because they are not ANC members. So ask who are members of the ANC, we must answer. And let me try, Chair. You will remember that Member Mishala, when we came...
Well, I'm telling you, Nina was talking to the officials.
Yeah, the officials can't answer for the ANC. I'm answering for the ANC.
Because they are the one accountable.
No, I'm answering for the ANC.
No.
So, no. Allow me to speak, Mishala. You spoke, nobody
spoke. Honorable Mishala. I don't want to respond to our questions. Don't leave.
Honorable Mishala, please leave.
And stop responding to our questions.
But he's making this, he's discussing Honorable Mshala. Allow me.
I tell the members of the ANC are the ministers and the deputy ministers. They are here. They will respond.
No, I am a member of the ANC. I'm a whip of the ANC for that matter.
Honorable Mshala, I'm not in this committee.
I'm saying of the ANC.
Yeah, but this is not a meeting of the ANC.
Yeah, but you spoke of the ANC, well, no. It's you who spoke of the ANC. Let me answer.
No, you. Don't respond. I spoke to the ANC because it failed in 2016.
I want to.
The ruling party.
Honorable Mukala.
When it fails to deliver, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, when
it fails,
we want to prove that you are wrong.
When I chair, you must call Mashiro into order. Because
I've given Honorable Mashiro platform to speak. Keep quiet and listen.
I'm keeping quiet, but you must call Mashiro into order. Mashiro will respond.
No, what is order? It's not
Mashiro. You must call him to order. He's not going to respond to my question. He's not the minister yet. He's not the deputy minister.
You must ask his own question. No, you
I spoke about the ANC Chairperson. Yes, the ANC is the ruling party.
Yes, allow the ANC to respond. Agree to call the
ANC. You are out of order, Chairperson. This is not a meeting of the ANC.
Allow.
I think you still need to learn. You have a problem in understanding what
you have a problem because you are even new in the parliament.
When I have 26 years, but you are failing, you know nothing.
Yes,
26
yes,
years.
Allow.
You can't grow. I know. You are out of order.
Honorable Mashala, if you are not allowing Mashego to speak, I'm going to remove you from this meeting. Honorable Mashiro, you are on the
platform. Mashiro is not allowed to respond. He must ask his own question. Remove me,
Mashiro.
I want to abuse your power, Chairperson.
Remove me.
I want to give the meeting what the ANC did in 24 years.
I'm in the meeting of the parliament. Yeah, okay.
When the ANC came into power, the parliament of South Africa was saving only 14% of South African society. And there were no people have got no water, no sanitation, no normal schooling, nothing. Since the 1994 to date, we have got plus minus 87% of South African society. We have got clean water, drinkable water, sanitation. We have got they have got free education and so forth. And that's what the ANC has done. Yes, there is still a lot that the ANC must do, but for you to say the ANC has totally failed is a myth.
Mr. Mashiro?
Yes.
Can you put on your camera, please?
Okay.
Are you done, Mashiro? Or
no. They're saying I must put on my camera.
No, finalize. You've taken a lot of time.
Okay. So I was saying that...
Allow him because you said his ANC is responding for ANC. Allow him. As he wish. Allow. Because it's wrong. We are asking this question.
It's not a point of order.
Not an executive.
Honorable Mashiro,
we'll also respond next time. You must allow us to respond when they are speaking about the EFF. Because it's
Honorable Mashiro?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, proceed.
And I'm saying, just as a matter of fact, the biggest issue that the ANC has done in South Africa, today South African society can claim title deeds under the house that they have been renting to buy for many years, 99 years that they were living.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashiro. You've gone beyond the 5 minutes. Let's get Honorable Powell.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'd just like to say the presentation that's been sent to us today is really, it's really very full of detail, and I would just like to compliment the department on a really good presentation from the human settlement side. I think that this is the sort of substantive information that we like as a community, so thank you very much for that. If we move to slide, I'm focusing specifically on DHS. If we move to slide 12, I would like to understand how many land parcels identified in Mpumalanga's Sustainable Human Settlements Development Master Plan back in 2013, as referenced in the presentation, have been transferred to the department or to municipalities for development. Do they have a number of land parcels that have been transferred? And then of the 61 human settlements identified in this plan in 2013, can the department tell us how many of the 61 have broken ground to date? Then on slide 13, and slide 13, I'm also referring to slide 29 and 30 because they sort of speak to targets just in a different sort of summarized way. The 4,191 housing units, are these all set to be completed in this financial year? Because one thing that I wasn't clear on is, for example, if you look at on slide 29, it says that out of the 1,234 UISP or service side projects, it's got a target of 8%. So I'm just wondering if 8% is the, if the, those slides talk to the reduction, the percentile reduction, or if what the department is telling us is that by the third quarter, only 8% have been delivered on. So I just need to understand on 29 and 30, are those percentiles the delivery to date? Because if so, I mean, we're in the third quarter. I understand that the country was shut for 5 weeks and then a little bit longer for some companies, but construction was allowed to resume in level four. So I just want to understand, I mean, 4,191 housing sites as the target. How many have been completed so far, and does the department really have faith, despite the fast-tracking and acceleration plan, that they will meet these targets? Then I think my colleague Grace, Honourable Grace Tseki, referred to the substandard materials that have been used in a lot of the houses and the problem with houses to date in Mpumalanga that have been built over the past 26 or so years, not have sort of being in a state of disrepair, and she asked what the department was going to do about that. I just wanted to confirm, we've, as a National Portfolio Committee, we've been on Tuesday, we had quite a lengthy presentation regarding the National Department and the Human Settlements Command Centre's failure to enforce the standards, the norms, quantums and standards. Can the department confirm to us that in the building of all of their emergency housing programs and the various housing projects, that they are sticking to the National Department's subsidy specifications, quantums, norms, standards, specifications for what the tenders need to look like in terms of the materials that need to be used? Because we need to now start interrogating at the provincial level as a portfolio committee that the provincial departments are in fact adhering to these, because we now know that the national department has failed to ensure that level of adherence. So can you confirm that your officials are consulting and using those norms and standards in the award of tenders under your tenure, MEC and provincial director? And then I see that your expenditure at current is sitting at 212 million rand against your target of, your revised target of 966 million rand. So we're in the third quarter, you've got a 966, almost a billion rand target. You've spent less than one third of that, 212 million. I understand the delays, but I mean, what plans does the department have to fast track expenditure? You know, we don't want to come here and to shop talk. We need to talk frankly. Does the department believe that you can spend your almost billion rand budget? And then I've got two more questions. I'll be quick. I share Mr. Mashego, Honourable Mashego's concern around the parliamentary village expenditure, the Mbombela Parliamentary Village being allocated 20 million rand of the Department of Human Settlements budget for bulk infrastructure and bulk civils. My understanding, and perhaps it's just nationally, but again, maybe the department can clarify, and we will submit parliamentary questions in this regard as well. Can you confirm, I was of the understanding that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure took care of parliamentary villages because they obviously belong to them. Why is the Department of Human Settlements spending 20 million rand on the parliamentary village? That's not human settlements for the people of this country who qualify. MPLs earn almost a million rand a year. Surely the Department of Human Settlements budget should be going to people who are registered on the National Housing Waiting List or qualify for one of the emergency housing programs. There really is quite a big concern with that, and we will be following that up with our colleagues in Mpumalanga and nationally as well. My last question is with regards to title deeds. I see that your target on expenditure for title deeds was 30, or your original allocation was 38 million rand. That has now been reduced by a staggering 25 million rand. You've now got 13 million rand, and you've reduced your target by over 4,100 title deeds, now down to 3,726. This question is an ideological and a policy position that I'd like to put to the department to ask MEC specifically what your take on this is. You know, in the economic devastation and depression that we sit with in South Africa at the moment, especially in outlying provinces like Mpumalanga that are, you know, not focuses of investment and attraction like places like Gauteng are, title deeds are job creating because individuals can use title deeds to leverage capital to start businesses and thereby, you know, climb the ladder. And I just want to understand what the rationale is. Was this cut on title deeds mandated by the National Department? I understand that over 317 million rand was slashed from the title deeds program nationally. Was this budget cut mandated nationally, or was this an internal provincial decision? Because I just feel that at the moment, those of us charged with leading, especially those of us in the executive at national and provincial levels, should be doing everything in their power to create jobs and to create opportunities for South Africans who are now, 2.2 million people more have lost their jobs in the past quarter. And instead of giving people title deeds so they can go to the bank, raise capital against their houses, start businesses to feed and clothe their kids, we're rolling back on this title deeds program by over 4,000 in one province. We're sitting at a 200 million rand expenditure against a billion rand expenditure. It just seems like we've got our priorities back to front. MEC, can you please give me the position, your position on title deeds against things like temporary emergency housing, you know, which doesn't create anything? And just let me know, DG or MEC, one of you, just let me know, was that budget cut mandated by the National Department or was it provincial? Thanks so much.
Thank you, Honourable Powell. Honourable Tsweti. Honourable Tsweti.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, just two questions. The first one is, I'm not sure whether I've seen it correct, on the water and sanitation, water access, where it was said 54% have got water access. 54% that are having access to water, or 54% that have got access to sanitation. I missed that part. And then the other one.
Camera, please, Mr. Tsweti.
Yo, my camera. Hey, and then I have a cap and that. Can I take my cap off and just do the right thing? Sorry for that. Is it now? We must now put cameras.
Yes, the Honorable Zeki, put your camera on because we are live on YouTube. Yes.
Okay, let me make myself smart. Okay.
You come into a meeting without being smart.
They are causing trouble for your leadership.
thank you, Chair. On the issue is the second point that I was asking as a question is the issue those complying, municipality that are not complying. I think the presentation did indicate, but that didn't hear what are the consequences, what is the department doing in response to non-compliance of those municipalities on water and sanitation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zeki, Honorable Seswai.
Thank you, Chair. In appreciation of the presentation, which is somehow detailed in terms of the business plan character, but what perhaps we would like to hear is how parts, because the municipality is on the implementation side of the whole story of national. The how parts, I think that's where we have an interest of how. The first question that the acting issue has raised, a very important issue that we'll have to be ensure about provision of other amenities. Now, which also it contributes to the DDM policy. Now, one would like to get an example of what are those departments, because that area is an area that is contested by human settlement, because that's the identity of human settlement, where you build a human settlement with all the amenities. Can we get an example of a sector that is volunteered already to deal with that particular issue in terms of coordination? The second issue, Chair, I think is an area that Honorable Zeki has raised. As we deliver houses, water, there are high expectations on the basis of redress that we must transform. You don't just deliver and you don't transform. You do things as the old order. The issue of the set aside of vulnerable sectors, in particular women, we are not getting that. And it's a critical area. It has been raised in the previous years, and we have raised it again now. What is the response of Mpumalanga in terms of ensuring that women has got an allocation which is 30%, and they are not just women who are Daga boys or Daga girls. They are given quality work in terms of their capabilities to do the work. We would like to hear if that program is well addressed. The other issue is, which we didn't get, what is the response or reaction of traditional leaders in this program? Because you have to tell us those challenges so that perhaps we are part and parcel of resolving problems as a national government. You're raising acting HOD that there are areas of distress where you have to give some assistance what are those areas? What are those areas? And what assistance are you giving? The support that you are giving to those particular areas. We are aware of the national priorities, so said the acting HOD. And it was just an announcement. It was just an announcement. We would like to hear, what are you doing about those national priorities that have been given to you by the national department? The coming to water, Chair. There's been a pie chart that has been presented to us. The interest there is that it's a distribution of water to municipalities, to communities, versus the industries. Because as Honorable Mashego has raised, that there's an increase of the population in all the areas, in particular in Mpumalanga. And therefore, regardless of what was the percentage that was given to industry, now that there's an increase of the people, that should consider we would like to hear that, the percentage of communities versus industries in terms of the water distribution. The issue of the water quality, we didn't get that well, but what we heard is that there are problems within the water schemes in the area. Now, that is a threat to the water that is given to the communities. What is that? And how are you dealing with that particular issue? So those are the few questions that I wanted to ask. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sikai. This was the last hand from honorable members. Unless if there is any member who his gadget cannot allow her or him to raise hand, you can just indicate. Okay. This was the last hands from the members. Let me add the questions to the department and national department and to the province, both the human settlement and the water and sanitation. On human settlement, I must join honorable members to welcome the presentation. It was detailed and more informative, and their targets were very clear. And one just want to check on the speak about the issue of the title deed presented. When we engaged National Department, when they responded that they are doing away with the, or they are cutting the conditional grants for title deed, they've indicated that the grants came about in looking at the backlog to assist, and it was realized that the money is not the problem. The problem is how we handle issues. I just want to check with Mpumalanga that the cut of the conditional grant affected your performance. Is it not going to affect your performance, particularly because you are one of the provinces that is doing very well on title deed, or the reduction of the budget reflect the performance or the reduction of the backlog itself. Number two, acknowledging the identified development areas where you're even integrating the model, district model in it, which is going to be very easier for departments to, or for province to implement the one budget, one plan. Just to check in terms of adding to the question of the agriculture as one of the key commodities in Mpumalanga, which contributes probably to the GDP. Just to say that, what is it that is done to assist the women emerging farmers in that area? Because the majority of them, they are complaining about water license. As you're going to develop this area with all the departments, are we going to see even the synergies that including water and sanitation department being part of the of those integrated, so that integrated planning, so that those areas that are obstacles at that level are being attended to. And I've seen that, I know that the National Department on Water and Sanitation, they've not presented, they've jumped that slide on district model, but I don't get it, the how they integrated themselves as the department with that master plan integration process of Mpumalanga, which we see the human settlement availing resources for the bulk when National Department is its own competency, and some of the municipalities. So I just want to check that one, the integration of water and sanitation in that master plan process of Mpumalanga, which is forward planning and encouraging integrated planning with all sectors in Mpumalanga. The water allocation, as outlined, the domestic use is 8%, and it said that you have 89% of household has clean water. Then there is a 10% of backlog, which is raised by Honorable Leon. And I want to just to add to say, do we have an action plan that speaks to that 10% backlog? Because it will be very important for the portfolio committee to then follow up to that 10% that is still need to access water. We must be able to see the action plan and a budget to address that. Linked to that is the 89% that you indicate they've got clean water. Just to check that whether do we not have interruptions in the whole system, because there are a lot of areas where we've put infrastructure, put recirculation, but the water doesn't reach the end user. And then the last one from me is the issue of the treatment plant. There is a work that has been done, but I think DM Mashobo, it might be important that this issue should be escalated to get all the stakeholders involved, because we will not fight pollution and pollution, and at the same time we still allow people to have this treatment plant that does not perform in terms of the what is required. I think it's important that after this cycle, we should then be able to, through yourself, DM, to say that what should be done to make sure that all the wastewater treatment plants are working and they are budgeted for, and the money we escalate, we increment our monitoring and evaluation to make sure that water quality is secured in the country. Because if you look at 77, 34 is not working, you can imagine the pollution that is going into the river. And the worry factor is that the end user is the one that pays more, because the more you put chemicals in cleaning water, then as you charge water to our people, the tariff becomes higher for them, because and people who are polluting is the municipality themselves. So I thought we should have a way of looking at these issues of wastewater treatment plants and make sure that there is a resolve on them, and municipalities that continue to undermine the regulation, they get punishment which requires is required in that level. So I'm now going to allow DM, MEC and the team to respond. You can direct DM, how do you structure your responses, who's taking what.
No, thank you very much, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair, and two members. This time around, Chair, we'll do it slightly different, because some questions are a little bit more politically. And ultimately, it's us as members of Parliament that accounts to you. Then the administration led by Acting DG Trevor, we'll deal with some of the issues that are a little bit technical. And Her Excellency Comrade MSC will also guide from her side. But on the human settlement related matters that require the National Department, I have Ubaba Comrade Leshaban is here with me. The DG has joined that other meeting. When he's back, they will be able to respond.
Maybe, Chair, let me start with some few issues, then Trevor and the team will come in. Chairperson, firstly, the water business, Chair, one thing that is more important is the availability of the source itself. We can talk about infrastructure, we can talk about issues and so forth, but when you look at the province of Mpumalanga, Chairperson, one of the things that the team tried to indicate was to map up the landscape about where is water coming from in the province of Mpumalanga. And in the main, the province of Mpumalanga, remember, surrounded by other provinces and other countries, we are only relying mostly on a surface water in terms of the water mix. And in terms of the surface water, Chair, the team indicated that there are 26 dams. And groundwater in Mpumalanga, Chairperson, is not highly developed. But there is something that is very unique about Mpumalanga that we should always know. It's the same with other provinces. When the apartheid government decided at a particular point that major towns and cities, and because of mineral deposit, water is going to be pumped from certain provinces and other countries to support the economy at that time, Mpumalanga was one of those particular provinces where we have a number of schemes. One of the schemes is the one that you know, Chair, the integrated Vaal River system. You know, in our own province, it starts somewhere in the Liqua municipality. It comes to Gauteng. From Gauteng, it goes to Free State to Northern Cape. Until the system, it goes to Namibia, Chair. That's why when comrades you speak, most of the time, you will remember that even the pollution in the Vaal, Mpumalanga is cited as a contributor because of the issues of the situation when you look at that particular area called the Liqua municipality. Then there's Olifants. The Olifants in the main, you could see, is the one that goes through from this other side of your grill site until it goes to Limpopo, and then until to the other side. Then Usu, to the one that is coming through KZN and ourselves, because all the water is coming towards Gauteng. But then in Mpumalanga, there's something we must note. If you look at that chart, comrades, around water allocation, in the main, what drives the economy of Mpumalanga? Mpumalanga is economy in terms of water. Mainly the water is going to strategic use. And Mpumalanga is producing nearly two-thirds of the country's power generation. And you could see most of the dams that we are having in Mpumalanga in the main are supporting power generation-related work, whether it's the mines that are supplying coal to the power stations or the power station in terms of the grid that comes in them. And then Mpumalanga at the very same time, if you look at the escarpment, Comrade Chair, Mpumalanga, like Limpopo, is one of those provinces where there's a lot of afforestation. There are a lot of forests that are there. That's why you could look at that particular chart. At the very same time, Chairperson, when you look at Mpumalanga, Mpumalanga is one of those provinces that used to be the food basket of the country when we're still remaining as the old Transvaal at the time. And we continue to take a lot of water towards issues of irrigation, because water in the main must also be able to support the socio-economic activities. Therefore, when you look at the allocation pie chart that is there, there was a time when agriculture was more than 50%. And due to some water allocation reform, emergence of some of the black farmers there, you could see that currently agriculture is around 59%. But you also know that there is certain land in the province that is actually lying fallow, that is not being actually utilized. And this thing, Your Excellencies, if you find time, not now, just to check where is this water going, just to support the story I was giving. If you look at the water supply system of the province, We have a park which is dark on the other side where I come from in Kersibati. It's called Upper Usutu Scheme, where you have your Chief Albert Local Municipality, we have Umkhondo. All those issues, that water is coming through and it goes to Gauteng and it's also supporting Eskom. And in the main, when you drive around Amsterdam, you know the Eishoek Dam, the Mogenhoek, the Westwood Dam and the Jericho Dam. This is where most of the water in those particular municipalities is going to those strategic issues. That's why there was a time when we even engaged with Eskom to say, can we tap on your scheme? And then there were certain dams that were only used either for irrigation only. And we said they can't continue to be single purpose dams. For those areas, the Honorable Mhlala was speaking about, especially where I was born in Umkhondo, we can get additional surface water now. And most of the areas were starting to explore the issues of the use of groundwater. But the other area where other members were speaking to, if you look at the Upper Olifant system or the catchment part, in the main, you have all those power stations there. You also have your software on the other side around the Secunda. It's mostly for Eskom irrigation. And this is where you have your Whippen Dam, you also have your Roscoe Dam. And when you look at that catchment because of economic activities that are happening there, that system is stressed. There is no additional water that is actually available. And because of mining that has happened over years, it does not necessarily mean that the issues of pollution by municipalities is not important. But the pollution by mines, it has impacted a lot on groundwater. Many years ago, Trevor will know when I was still a little bit young, I used to work in this catchment. The water that was available there, every time groundwater that is having high levels of metals, was actually 10 times the volume of the Whippen Dam. That's why water reclamation and the treatment by mines, whether you go from Victor Kanye, you go to Minkleberg, which is deep trade, and the Malate, there was issues of water reclamation, in other words, the treatment in them. In other words, the treatment of mine water or the acid mine drainage program is the only way that part of the province could be able to get more water, because there would be no additional dam that we could be able to build them. In the upper valley chair, where I was speaking around the standard for which is Gligwa, you have Eskom, you have Sosol, and you have Secunda Dam. That system chairperson still has water. Remember, that water ultimately comes to Gauteng, and Redwater is managing those 14 integrated schemes. The only dam that is around that particular site is called the Road Dry Dam. That is actually the one. The system is more balanced, but it does not mean that if the system is more balanced, the issues of pollution, like members were saying, pollution is not only caused by those municipalities that are weak, especially when you look at Gavin Mbeki, you look at Ligwa and others, but also the industries themselves, especially when you look at their ash dams. Therefore, the issues of regulation and enforcement, they are very important. When you go towards the upper Inkomati and towards lower Inkomati, that will include your Komazi, it will include your Albertville too. There is a lot of mining activities happening there, but Eskom is still a particular issue. But when you go towards Komazi, towards Peter Chief, we have those obligations that Swaziland and Mozambique must receive their share. And we can't be able to still say that we still have water in that particular area, but there has to be a dam that must be built in the confluence of N4. You see, Chairperson, when you go through Schoemanskloof and you go through Sabi, there is some rivers that are there, and the Premier made that particular pronouncement. And we can still be able to use that. And then there's Crocodile, that includes Mbombela. And that particular area of Mbombela, Chairperson, we need to be able that the catchment is stressed. Because there's a lot of farms that are there, and there is a project that is being proposed there in terms of the Crocodile Water Project, in terms of development of the new dam. When you go towards where Mashiko comes from, Bushbuck Ridge, He knows that if you look around Sabi, the system still is okay, but there have been issues of drought for some time, and some of those communities, we are using the groundwater that is there. I thought, Chairperson, we should be able to refer to these issues, because if we don't address the question where water will come from, we'll be actually wasting our time, because you can put the infrastructure, like one day they did put some pipes in Komazi, but there was no waterway to come from. They rushed to put the recirculation system without the bulk infrastructure, without the source. We must be able to dismiss that the ANC has failed in 26 years. Comrade Mashiko was correct. The province of Mpumalanga, in terms of access to water right now, if you look at your slide 13, the access is at 89.2%. But Chairperson, we must admit, like you were saying, there are service delivery interruptions, Chair. The service delivery interruptions in the main, there is an infrastructure failure. Because issues of OPEX, and including issues of CAPEX, they were being neglected in the main, including the amount of money that was being brought in. It does not necessarily mean that citizens of the province of Mpumalanga, 89 of them out of 100, they are receiving water all the time, which is what is called assurance of supply and the issues of reliability. There are interruptions, like SA was able to demonstrate to the committee at a particular point in time. That's why the issue of water conservation and demand management, that will include issues of asset management. This is very important. You take an example of a municipality like Emalahleni. Emalahleni has been there, Chairperson, for more than 70 years. Those asbestos pipes, more than 900 kilometers, are gone. And we need to replace them so that we can be able to say access to infrastructure, but also means access and assurance of supply and reliability more than 95% of the time. If your Excellency, if you look at that slide, it will tell you that how many households have access to water, because the total households in Mpumalanga, they are actually at 1.2, if you look at the household survey of 2016. Then you have certain people in the province that have no access. Remember, these people have no access in the main. There is no infrastructure at all, or the infrastructure is rudimentary. It's normally affecting your rural municipalities that are actually big. In the main, Bushbuck Ridge is one of those municipalities. You look at JS Moroga, you look at Tembisileani, but then there are these other smaller municipalities, like when you look at Umkhonto. Those are the ones, because if you look at Msubalikwa, you look at Emalahleni, you look at Tsimtwede, and governing base. That infrastructure was well developed, but then they've been overwhelmed by issues of migration in the province. Access to sanitation, Chair, which is your next slide. Sanitation, your Excellencies, remember, there is the sewer sanitation and there's a non-sewer sanitation. When you look at the sewer system is the one that we say it has flush toilet. This is where we're speaking about the 51.8%. These are the people that have running water in their own households. That we are dealing with. Actually, that also included that old problem of bucket eradication. But there is an additional people in the province that have access to sanitation, which is non-sewer, is 45.2%. Those are the ones that are using your pit toilets or your VIP toilets. And this issue of access to sanitation, as sewer sanitation, is always linked to water. If the water is not available, you could not be able to say you can put a sewer system like in other provinces. Where citizens, they are feeling that we are treating them differently, that others are having a sewer system, others are not having a sewer system. But it has been proven now that even the non-sewer sanitation system can be used. Only problem is that there is issue of water pollution. in terms of groundwater, because if in future we're going to be using groundwater as a source, then we'll have to be able to treat that groundwater. But at the very same time, there are issues of health where sometimes the disposal and the cleaning of those toilets is a problem. And the real people that have no sanitation services at all, that actually go and relieve themselves in an undignified situation, we are speaking about only 3%. I thought, Chairperson, we should be able to differentiate between the sewage and the non-sewage system and what are the conditions on the ground. But ultimately, we want all our people to have a decent sanitation services. There is a view by Honorable Mohlala to say, what is the role of the department, especially the regional office? The role of the department in terms of both the Water Services Act and the National Water Act, which clearly defines our role, and that's what the region plays the role, is supported by INCOMA, also to catchment management agents. They are able to do even an assessment in terms of the water services authorities, that what is the capacity for all of them. It is very important that if you look at the municipal assessment report, because the officials, they did give to say what is the strength of each municipality in the province of Mpumalanga. And that municipal assessment report is the one that you have the your issues around the infrastructure assessment. And you can start to look at it, Honorable Mohlala, from slide 26. Look at slide number 27. It can tell you what is the strength of each municipality. Ultimately, remember, we're not responsible for municipalities, but in terms of the Constitution, we support them. And the Water Services Act is very clear to say that all those that have been given the status of water services authorities, they must be able to perform their function. Probably one thing that is the leadership you should note is that Mpumalanga is a little bit different to other provinces. All the 18 local municipalities in Mpumalanga are actually the water services authorities, unlike in other districts, in other provinces where the districts are the water services authorities. Where it is read in that page, slide 27, those are the municipalities that are actually struggling just to discharge Chairperson, the function of being a fully water services authority. That's why we are pulling all stock, working with the provincial government and the premier to support those municipalities. Then you could see that they are actually in the yellow, the amber. Those are the ones that are struggling, but there's still a potential. Then there are those that are actually green. I will not go to those details, but it's to demonstrate to Honorable Mohlala that when we do our water services function in terms of the law, we're able to conduct that particular assessment. The very same assessment that is also being given around the wastewater treatment works that you see, especially on slide number 16. It's a very important slide, but you must read that particular slide with slide number 28. What are these indicators that we use to look whether municipalities are actually working? For an example, we look at revenue collection, the asset management, management of information, water resource management, water conservation and demand management, including issues of organizational performance monitoring. That information is there. And we know that municipalities, as we speak right now, for various reasons, are not actually doing well. That's why Honorable Bathoni would always say, let's intervene, let's be able to take over. But when we take over some of these functions, when it's not our primary mandate, then it becomes our responsibility to ensure that there are resources that are there. I thought I should be able to clarify the issue of the role of the department. When it comes to Emalahleni, I've responded to the issue. Emalahleni has always been the growth potential of the province. There have been challenges. When you look at slide number 52, number 53, you could see all the regional bulk infrastructure money and projects that were trying to assist the province of Mpumalanga, we must admit, is not adequate, but we are supporting them and we are expecting that even the money that come from me must be able to help them. Remember, Mpumalanga does not have a metro. They don't have the benefit of the urban settlement development grants, where some of these issues of bulk services you can't be able to attend to. I will not respond to the issue of Liqua. I've been there. There have been big problems in Liqua, even during COVID-19. But I can tell you now that even when I was there about 2 to 3 weeks ago, we've been able to return water there into that particular space. We know that the issue of pollution is still there. In governance, they were very pleased that we are supporting them with the district of Kersimbale and the province. They are actually building in one small town there a very beautiful wastewater treatment works. But Chairperson, there is a project around management of the leakages in terms of their main holes in that governance bay. The problem there is these people call, what is this people, I'm not sure whether it's Tamadelang or who for what, this one was talking projects. Even on that particular day when we were there, there is a lot of disruption where people, they come and claim 30% and they are very different groupings, and it's a matter that probably we should be able to deal with it. Honorable Leon, on your question around backlogs, I think if you look at the plan, because there is a water plan, and if you could check in all the presentations from your slide, slide 25, your slide 15, slide 18, slide 14, you could see that all these municipalities, they do have the water services development plans, all of them. But some of these plans are due for review at the end of this financial year for the municipality, which is 2020-2021. And we are integrating that into the district development model for the province because we are promoting those regional schemes. The issues of the wastewater treatment works, Chair and Honorable Person, is the biggest issue. What is the problem with the wastewater treatment works? Technically, these assets, what happened, it's like when you look at power, you look at water. When the population grew, one matter that was never attended to was the issue of the bulk infrastructure. What happened is that all the existing infrastructure, we connected too many households, whether it was electricity, whether it was water, and ultimately the system was short. It's going to be designed for a particular capacity, and the upgrades were not being done. And the whole system, if you look at the processing of the plant, it got short. Therefore, if you look at some of the projects that are there, as I was indicating from slide 52, you could see that a number of projects are meant to actually do the upgrade. And that's why even if you look at the plan by human settlement, all the issues around basic amenities in terms of bulk water and bulk sanitation services is very important that we must attend to this. The other thing that we should attend to is that all the wastewater treatment plants, we need to start to deal with the issues of capacity and put the issues of the budget. But at the very same time, start to ensure that all wastewater treatment plants are becoming water reclamation. We must treat that water so that we can be able to increase the yield, because in certain areas there is no water available at all. In other areas, people are starting to use the technology to actually manage the sludge better. Then you are able to have an issue of having power. But then there is issues of agriculture in terms of those particular products. But as the department, we continue to open cases. In Liqua, for an example, directives have been issued. You go to Vitakanyi, cases have been issued. You look at the case in Northwest, where there was that particular municipality in the Route Mobat, where it will even to get a court order, Honorable Person, to deal with these particular issues. But we must be able to indicate that let's have probably a bigger discussion around water resource protection and the wastewater treatment works, because is one of the biggest challenges, that we do have water available, but this water is polluted and is of not good quality. On the side of the department, we are concluding this issue of the polluter pays principle in terms of the waste charge discharge system that we must be able to put in there. Sis Grace, Honorable Craig, I think I've dealt with the question of water allocation and irrigation. Our team will then have to give you the numbers, how much water is being set aside, so that the black farmers, including the revival of all the irrigation schemes, especially in the former homelands, because all the irrigation schemes that used to be there, Honorable said, you will know that they created a lot of jobs, but they are also very important that if we revive them, it will be part of reviving the economy of that particular province. Trevor and Boomer and Booth, they are here. They will talk about those problems of the water tanks. I remember them, especially around the issues of JS Morock. But the problem is this, the one that you've been dealing with in JS Morock. Just look at those projects and monitor them from your slide number 36 to slide number 39. Because remember, there was those particular emergency projects that had to be done, including working closer with Elias Mtualeji, especially the Skukune district on the other side, because of the interlinkages. The eviction matter, I think, Her Excellency Comrade MSC, Indaba Sekhaya Mkhondo, Ramuz Lapaya, in those farms. I remember checking at a particular point, but I've not followed through because I remember what happened when those farmers, they kicked that particular family out. I apologize, Chair, because I had to take much longer to demonstrate that over this period, we've done well, but was the first to admit that there's still more work to be done. There are communities that don't have water at all. And we know, and we say to them that they too, they are human, they deserve our support. And with this money, the little money that we have, that we are putting, if you look at the water services, the improvement grant and the RB, we have nearly R1 billion that the department does its own contribution. Then if you look at the contribution by COMCA and others, we should be able just to push that in those particular areas where they still don't have water, we should be able to provide it. And in those other communities where there's no decent sanitation. Trevor, I will ask you just quickly with your team, where there are specific details and numbers that are required, that you, Guma, and Booth and the team, we are able to provide, honorable members. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DM. Acting DG Trevor.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I'm going to rely on my colleague, Mr. Guma, just to deal with the water tanks and the particular details there. One of the figures which Honourable Mahabwa didn't touch on, and Chair, we will have to come back to you, is the issue of the contribution of agriculture to the GDP. We've done the numbers on a national scale, but what we'll do, we'll disaggregate those numbers and break it down to have a look at what the contribution is in the province of Mpumalanga. It varies province per province, depending on the way that pie chart is very different. If you look at Gauteng, for argument's sake, most of the water goes to domestic use, and a very small, it's only 8% that goes to agriculture. But I've only got the figures for globally across the country, and I'll do that with you. I don't know, I'd hopefully if Mr. Guma is not able to give you the figure on the allocation to black farmers, we will also get that figure for you. I've only got a national figure where the allocation, which is about 62% of the water goes to agriculture. In terms of the national figure, it's about 5%, which is farmers. But we'd have to get that breakdown for Mpumalanga in particular. So those two figures, Honourable Chair, my team will make sure that we come back with a written response to the portfolio committee on them. I would then ask Mr. Guma just to come in on the water tanks and the tankers, as was raised by Honourable Taka. Thanks, Honourable Chair. Figina, can you come in?
Thank you, Excellent DG. Honourable Chair, we are aware of one tank which was stolen in the Bush Park Ridge area. It has been reported, it has been traced, and I think an arrest has been made or investigation is in place in terms of further prosecution. That is the only tank which we are aware of at this time. We attend the provincial JOC 3 times a week, and we have not heard any other report of any other tank. But we will investigate further if there's information which we have missed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Human Settlement, MEC Ochoti and Acting DG.
No, thank Honourable Chairperson. I will start and hand over to the HOP. Chairperson, with regard to the Hadebe family living in Municipal Hall under Mkhondo Local Municipality, I will just give a short background and the progress to date. We have received an updated progress report together with a copy of a court order from the municipality, and the department has been quoted as the third respondent on the attached copy of the court order under the land claim court. The Hadebe family, which has been represented by 9 applicants with a household size of about 30 family members, has been residing in the municipal ward following the eviction from the private property portion number 4 of the farm Donkerhoek. The Department of Rural and Land Reform has had several interventions to assist the Hadebe family following the court order that was issued in November 2015. So the parties agreed to resettle the Hadebe family on the portion 6 of the farm Donkerhoek, which is about 5 hectares in size. And then the progress to date, Chairperson, the Department of Rural and Land Reform managed to build 9 houses and regravel a 4-kilometer access road and drill a borehole for them. But the families did not want to take occupation of the houses before the department met all the demands that they were raised during the eviction. Their demand was to prepare a farmland for them and provision of irrigation water. The last one is fencing all round of their houses. The Department of Rural and Land Reform has indicated that they will further assist with a provision of the above so that the families can take occupation of the houses. As we speak now, the families have indicated that they are happy with the quality of the houses and they are now ready to take occupation as soon as their lawyer meets with them to verify all the list of demands that were stipulated in the court order. On the military vet, the 17 beneficiaries are the approved ones by the Department of Military Vet. Do take note that we were instructed not to use any other leave we used to identify our own beneficiaries as the province, and we were doing very well on that one. With regard to issuing of title deeds, there is a plan in place of issuing them. It is very unfortunate that we were unable to proceed due to COVID-19 in the past few months. Nonetheless, we shall ensure that before the end of this financial year, title deeds will be issued as per our plan. With regard to incomplete houses, in our 2019 ex Lekutla, the executive mayor indicated that there are incomplete houses throughout the province with backlog going as far back as 1994. Those incomplete housing units have either been abandoned or terminated at different milestones. Then the Lekutla instructed the department to develop a program of action to address all the incomplete low-cost houses. Chairperson, I'm glad to report that the committee, that the action plan was developed and presented to the ExCo for approval. As we speak now, the work has been started, and I will request the HOD to brief us on the progress to date. I will allow the HOD to respond on other issues that are technical. Thank you.
HOD?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair, I think you will note that the Honorable the Deputy Minister and the Honorable MEC have addressed some of the questions. I think I will start off with the one that the Honorable MEC was talking to. Yes, we can confirm, Honorable Chair, that the 29 houses out of the list that we've received from municipalities, which indicated as incomplete, upon verification and also checking in the housing subsidy system, the 29 houses that were not completed, the proper program of action was developed and work has commenced on the ground, and these houses and funding has been allocated towards the condition of all these houses as resolved by the ESCO Lekutla. And the scheduled the completion date of these houses is the end of October 2020. We are still working with the municipalities as and when new information is shared with the department, those houses will be attended to. I can confirm, Honorable Chair, that the Executive Council has taken a decision that where service providers that are responsible for having abandoned projects at various milestones, there has to be consequence management. Now, in a number of instances, Chair, contractors will start building only to realize that they are building houses on the wrong stands and then they will abandon. But in other instances, you find that the were issues that really require our attention of the department. The Honorable MEC has put together a team that is looking at this, and a report in this regard will be tabled before the next Executive Council sitting, where we're indicating exactly what remedial measures, what actions are going to be taken for, is going to be taken against all those that are responsible, but for them to be held accountable. I think, Honorable Chairperson,
The question that Honorable Masala raised, I think it was one of the first questions, was there is a perception that there are late appointments of contractors and there's poor performance. So we can confirm that in the Mpumalanga province, we have transversal contracts. We have service providers or contractors already appointed. And as and when a financial year starts, so we don't deal with procurement issues at the beginning of the financial year to avoid these unnecessary delays. As soon as the business plans are approved at the beginning of the financial year, we commence with the works immediately. Now, there might be delays because of issues that relate to bulk infrastructure or statutory processes where township excavation processes, you know, have to be attended to. But they are really not delayed in terms of appointment. Now, the poor performance reported on contractors, we're working very closely with the NHBRC in terms of making sure that the type of houses that we deliver are of the right quality. We work with municipalities. Municipalities avail their own building inspectors. We also have our own inspectors and monitors to ensure that the houses that we deliver are of the right quality. The poor performance, Honourable Chair, might also be attributed to, you know, the nature of the province itself. We are a rural municipality. Houses or beneficiaries are scattered throughout the province, especially in the rural areas. You can imagine a contractor allocated 100 or so houses to build. It basically takes time for them to even source the construction material and transport those materials to the sites where these houses are going to be given. So it does contribute to what we can call poor performance, but I will not really say there is poor performance. Well, one province that is known to be performing in the Government Bege Awards, where the province, one of the best performing provinces, will receive awards in that regard. So to say this poor performance, we always have plans to make sure that our contractors are performing, and we do provide assistance to our contractors. I think, Honorable Chair, I must also indicate that with regards to the beneficiaries, the approval of beneficiaries, we don't really have challenges with the approval of beneficiaries. All our running projects already have beneficiaries. Remember, Honorable Chair and members, our projects are normally multi-year projects. So as and when a project is approved and included in the business plan, we already have beneficiaries. We can confirm that with the outbreak of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, the new projects did experience challenges in the approval of beneficiaries, and with the recovery and acceleration plan that we've developed, we are catching up as at the end of September to make sure that we do have approved beneficiaries for the new projects. So municipalities are also assisting us to capture the forms and then submit that information to us. Remember, some of the municipalities, Chair, are accredited in terms of, you know, managing the beneficiaries. So we really don't have a problem with the approval of beneficiaries because all our running projects have already approved, you know, beneficiaries. Now, Chair, with regards to EPHP and farm workers, we must indicate, Chair, that this instrument is clearly defined in the housing code to say how we should go about in delivering housing units under that instrument. Yes, there were instances where we were only making use of the beneficiaries or local communities as laborers instead of building houses for themselves. Now, we've been since been getting guidance from the National Department of Human Settlements, and we are improving that regard. Yes, in the current financial year, there was never any target in this regard, hence it will then indicate in the annual performance plan that we don't have any targets for EPHP and farm workers until we correct the way we've been building houses instead of us not complying with the prescriptions where we allow beneficiary to appoint to build houses for themselves. But we can confirm that we are now in the process of appointing community resource organizations that will manage that part of the construction where the actual beneficiaries are building houses for themselves. So in this financial year, we're not going to be implementing any EHP and farm workers, so there's no target. Now, the Honorable Mohlala Chair also raised the issue of how effective is our COVID-19 intervention. Chair, we can indicate that in this province, we developed a mass sanitization and disinfection plan in terms of which we are providing technical expertise to local municipalities. And what we have done, and this information is presented to the provincial command council, where we have done a thorough assessment of all informal settlements in the province. We know the level of service in each settlement. We know what interventions are required. So all the other sector departments are then they're making use of the plan that we've developed to say, so that to respond to the COVID-19 and make sure that we are intervening in a manner that will contain the virus. So we do have this plan and we're using it. I can then indicate, Chair, that we are not maybe implementing temporary residential units as other provinces, because in our case, there were no households that needed relocation. So what we instead did, we then upscaled our intervention using the allocations in our business plan. That is in terms of the servicing of sites to ensure that people have access to clean running water. We can confirm that 98 million has been made available in this regard under the UISP program. We can confirm that we are servicing sites to the tune of 150 million using the HSDG grant. Usually the HSDG will include where we will entail the servicing of stands in the greenfield. But I think the focus was mainly, as part of the COVID-19, mainly on the informal settlement upgrade. We can also indicate, Chair, that the Executive Council has availed money to the tune of 24.9 million as part of the equitable share, where we are drilling boreholes for schools and communities that do not have water. So we regard as part of the COVID-19 intervention, and as far as the province is concerned, we are of the view that our response to the pandemic has been quite effective. And obviously we've been working, as the Deputy Minister also indicated, working very closely with the Provincial Water and Sanitation Department. Now, Chair, Honorable Tsaki also raised the question around people with disabilities, being given opportunity to so that they are empowered on the construction of top structures, the servicing of sites. So we can confirm that we always give preference to the special groups, be it women, youth, and people with disabilities. And I think the presentation does indicate what is the value of the work that has been allocated to women-owned, youth-owned contractors. Maybe we might have not included the value of the work that has been allocated to people with beneficiaries. It is some information that we can always make available to the portfolio committee. Insofar as job creation is concerned, I think the National Department of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation has been very assisting in this regard. And it was made very clear that noting what the impact of the COVID-19 the resultant losses in job opportunities, we then need to make sure that we use the grants at our disposal to create jobs. And we are monitoring all our contractors. In fact, all our service providers, the contracts that are entered into with our service providers are very clear in terms of the jobs that are created, and we do report on a regular basis the jobs that have been created using the grant. Now, over and above that, Chair, in the province of Mpumalanga, we have what we call a social enterprise development program, in terms of which all construction materials in our all government-funded projects, in fact, a circular was issued to municipalities as well, that all government-funded projects, the construction materials must be sourced from cooperatives and SMMEs operating in those localities. And then again, we do, give reports on what is the value of materials that has been procured from SMMEs and cooperatives that are operating or taking place where the projects that we're implementing are taking place. So the issue of job creation, we're taking it very seriously. So we can confirm that that program has always been assisting, and I think in other platforms we did indicate that we've even had engagement with other provinces where we are showing them how we are implementing our social enterprise development program in the province. With regards to, his Honourable Secretary did indicate the issue of the quality of houses. Honourable Chair, we are working very closely with municipalities as well as the NHPRC. There might have been issues in the past where the quality of houses was not right, but I think for us, we can confirm that the Department of Human Settlements in the province has since been restructured so that it is fit for purpose. We have town planners, we have civil engineers, you know, we have different disciplines, project managers who are properly qualified. We have monitors in the district. So like I'm saying, we're working with NHPRC, with municipalities who are vague, their own building inspectors, and work before payments are made, we make sure that the required standards are met. Yes, the issue of the incomplete houses, I think the Honorable MSC did indicate that they did address the issue of the incomplete houses. I'm not going to waste your time on that one. But you can confirm, Chair, that in Mpumalanga, we do not do rectification. We were guided by the National Department of Human Settlements that rectification should not be allowed, but then service providers or contractors should be held accountable for the work that the units that are delivering if they are not of the required standards. So we have a clear housing supply delivery value chain to ensure that the houses that we're delivering are of the right quality. So it shouldn't really be a problem in this province. Now, Honorable MSC didn't address or touch on the eviction on the Hadebe family. I'm not going to go to that one. Now, Chair, Honorable Mashego again raised the issue of the military veterans. I think the Honorable MSC did touch on that one to say we are given approved beneficiaries by the relevant authority or department and we're not allowed to use any other list. So that really shouldn't be a problem. The issue of title deeds, yes, we can confirm that we were guided by the National Department of Human Settlements on what part of the allocation should be made available towards the COVID-19 interventions or relief fund. So it was not really our intention to take so much money to fund the COVID-19 fund or to contribute to the COVID-19 fund. But we are going to, we had no choice but then to revise our targets in line with the funding that is available at our disposal. Honorable Mashego, I think the other honorable members, Chair, raised very sharply the issue around the parliamentary village. Honorable Chair, we need to confirm that the water and sanitation function was given to the Department of Human Settlements by the Executive Council. So in this regard, for the parliamentary village, an amount of 20 million that is shown in the presentation relates to the bulk infrastructure. Like I said, it's a special intervention. its bulk infrastructure for the parliamentary regulation. The Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport in the province is responsible for the parliamentary regulation, not human settlement. So we're not building houses for the MPLs in the province, but Public Works is dealing with that. But because of the water and sanitation or the related bulk infrastructure, then the instruction was that we then need to attend to the required bulk infrastructure. But then, Chair, what we need to share again with the committee is that the bulk infrastructure that we are putting up in support of the parliamentary village is not only going to benefit the parliamentary village. We have Matsafeni Prison. It's a very big, it's one of our integrated human settlements projects in the city of Bombela, in close proximity to, in fact, the Bombela Stadium. It's happening within that Matsafeni Prison. They are already households there. So the infrastructure that we're putting there for the parliamentary village is not meant for the parliamentary village alone, but it's also intended to accommodate the communities that are residing within that Matsafeni precinct. Now, Chair, the Honourable Chair raised the issue to say we don't seem to be working with tribal authorities. Chair, I can confirm that Mpumalanga is a rural province and we are working with tribal authorities in all our integrated human settlements projects. I think where Honourable Mashego is coming from, I can tell you, share with the committee chair that there's about five integrated human settlements mega projects that we're implementing. There's Kumana, there's Balington, Royal Pohlach, the Lilydale, that we're implementing under Bushbuck Bridge. And the presentation is clear on that. I think slide 16 and slide 20. Has talked to the two things. We are implementing this project in these tribal authorities. In Goma, this is the same thing. We are even working with the trustees where there was a land claim and that land was restored. We are implementing an integrated human settlement that it might be a trust that is owning the land, but the tribal authority that is involved there is also, we have agreements, we have tripartite agreements. We clear obligations on what all the parties ought to do as part of our initiative. Now, the Honourable Mashego also then raised a point to say, what are we doing for rural areas, especially around the Makazini? So we have integrated human settlements in all municipalities in the province, not only within the priority human settlements and housing development areas, or the 10 municipalities that I was referring to. In my cousin was a township they called Siatutuba. They were looking at plus or minus 5,000 housing opportunities. And that initiative, that integrated human settlement, will not only assist the people in my cousin, but the people that are living in rural areas there. And our plans are in such a way that we can, in the event that there are evictions in this farm, these communities or households can always be accommodated in this integrated human settlement. Chair, then Honourable Powell, I think, then also raised to say how many land parcels have been acquired and transferred to municipalities. Chair, we have acquired a number of land parcels. I think it's about 27 land parcels in total. And in all these land parcels that we've acquired as a department using the HSDG or Human Settlements Development Plan, we are already establishing integrated human settlements on those land parcels. There are about 27 of them, and all of them have been transferred to the municipality. As a Department of Human Settlements, we don't have assets, we don't keep assets. As we acquire these land parcels, we register them in the names of the municipalities. I can confirm that almost 1,355 hectares of land has since been acquired, and these land parcels are being used to establish integrated human settlements. 37 of them are informal settlements, and those informal settlements, because they are a priority, are already receiving our attention in terms of the status of site. 26 of the 61, again, which also obviously not including the 37 informal settlements, are already undergoing implementation, and the balance is undergoing planning. And I did indicate in the presentation that there have been approvals already by the various municipal planning tribunals, and we're then in the next coming financial years, as part of the rapid land release program, going to start with the implementation of those that have since been approved. Now, when we refer to, for instance, I think one of the poll referred on slide 13 to say the progress, the 8%, we are saying at the time when the lockdown, when the travel restrictions were sort of reduced or was easing in the restriction. This is giving an indication of where we are, but then we have since come up with an acceleration plan. So the 8% was at the time when we started with, you know, calling all our service providers to return to the site and upscale their activities. So we can confirm that, yes, our service providers have improved within the second quarter as well as part of the third quarter. There has been a significant improvement. Now, Honorable Powell Chair also raised the issue around the quality of houses, which is what the other honorable members also raised. And like I said, our housing delivery value chain is very clear because we're working with a number of stakeholders. So the issue of compliance and the norms and standards, we're taking it very seriously. And we can confirm that all the units or the targets that we're delivering are in line with the norms and standards. I know that Honorable Powell did also emphasize the issue of the parliamentary village. I think I did talk to that, and also the issue of the title deeds. I think I addressed it earlier on in my responses. Now, Honorable Sesfai Chair said we need to talk to the how part. I think she even indicated to say, give us an example, which sector departments are already assisting you in the provision of social amenities. Under Emalahleni Local Municipality Chair, we have an integrated human settlement called Siyanqoba. It comprises of plus or minus 8,000 stands, and we've delivered almost 5,000 housing units there already. And the Department of Education has already been, in fact, we've written to all sector departments. I think Department of Safety nationally, they've approached us to say they want to build a police station. The Department of Education has approached us. We've given them information to say, here are the five sites that are earmarked for social amenities, your primary and secondary schools. This is the extent of the site. Yeah, these are the conditions of establishment. This is the copy of the general plan. So we are working with the sector departments in providing the social amenities. So there is that collaboration among sector departments in making sure that we deliver these integrated human settlements, which in our view are also taking place within the priority human settlements and housing development areas, which is why then, Honorable Chair, was saying at the level of this province, these priority human settlements and housing development areas where we are already implementing integrated human settlements projects should then be used as an instrument towards the district development model. So we've made it very clear that there are now new projects with clear indication of what funding is required for us to integrate, to contribute towards that one plan, one budget. Now, the 30% that Honorable Tseke is referring to, I think the National Department has been clear on this one. It was DORA. It was made a provision of the DORA that 30% of the budget has to go to women. Chair, the slides of the presentation is very clear that the bulk of our budget is going to women as well as youth-owned entities or service providers. So we can confirm that we are doing well, and in fact we've even received awards in the Government Big Awards to say Mpumalanga is one of the best, if not the leading province in terms of the transformation targets. Now, she also asked them to say in the distressed mining towns, what intervention Chair, we are saying that we are providing bulk there. We're making sure that social amenities are constructed there. We're servicing sites there. We're upgrading informal settlements. Here we're talking about Imalashim, we're talking about Steve Chwe, we're talking about Tabachim. Those are the three distressed mining towns. And the work, the bulk of our money, is actually of our allocation in the province, is actually going to those municipalities. So that is the type of intervention that we're making in this distressed mining town. Now, with this DDM, I think the focus is going to be even more improved, because we're not only going to be focusing on upgrading informal settlements, establishing new settlements so that the demand for housing opportunities are addressed, but with the other sector departments, we're now then going to start looking at making sure that we improve on the infrastructure of those distressed mining towns. So your economic development and other departments will have to come in. Now, I think I will end with your questions, Chair. I think you also raised the issue around the title deeds. Chair, we can confirm, yes, the cut in the allocation or cut in budget is definitely going to affect our performance in that we've got a huge backlog. As much as we're one of the provinces that are doing well in the delivery of title deeds, there are areas of improvement, but now with the reduction in allocation, that is definitely going to affect our performance in that we've reduced our targets for the current financial year. Chair, I think as I conclude, the question was, what are we doing to assist women emerging farmers? Chair, we can confirm that some of our projects, we are a rural province. Some of our projects, we're not establishing, you know, urban settlements. We have a famous project, which is called Ngosi City. Yes, Chair, yes, my surname is Ngosi, but it's called Ngosi City not because some of us have got that sentiment, but it's because of the tribal authority there. That is an agri city. It is designed in such a way that there are opportunities for emerging farmers to be able to plow and make their produce in the what was the start we are establishing in Mpumalanga, the international fresh produce market that is currently being developed. So there is an effort that is being made by other sector departments, the agriculture, rural development, they are also playing a part. So some of these plans, as soon as we have this one plan, one budget, we'll then find expression in that plan. So we are of the view that as part of this PTM, we are going to then be seen to be making a serious impact in how we do things. The bulk infrastructure, we might be seen to be, you know, putting up bulk infrastructure. It is because a number of our projects we are not moving because of issues relating to bulk infrastructure. As much as this could be construed as a national competence or competence of the cooperative governance and traditional affairs, the National Department of Human Settlements has indicated to us to say, try and make sure that you avail the funding that is being made available to yourself to upgrade the bulk infrastructure or put up new bulk infrastructure so that we don't every time have to report to say, why is this project moving, and recite issues relating to bulk infrastructure. Then, Honorable Chair, there were so many questions, it was not my intention to waste your time. But I think we'll end there for now. We can always make additional submissions or written reports at a later stage if so decided by the comments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, HOD. Shatel Shabbat.
Chairperson. Good evening, Chairperson and members. There were two questions that I was invited to deal with from the national perspective. The first, Chair, is to confirm that I'm a little surprised that the province is so modest about that fact. The province is probably one of the top performers in terms of meeting those empowerment targets. I'm sure they can send the supplementary report to confirm same. Secondly, Chair, the budget cuts that were imposed meant that the provinces had to proportionally review their targets across the programs, title deeds, as well as all other programs. In fact, in the case of the province, they even went and used the other grant, the main grant, the HSDG, over and above the reduced title deeds, title restoration grant. It will always remain a balancing act across the board. And I'm sure even going forward, if we look at the province's performance, delivery and expenditure, as of the end of September, the picture will be different from what they reported because they focused on the end of the first quarter. Chair, those were the questions that drew our attention, but perhaps to clarify the question of bulk infrastructure, the Human Settlement Development Grant allocated to the province allows the province to take up to 2% of the grant and use it for bulk infrastructure. Because if we didn't do that, Chair, you'll appreciate that then many of the human settlements projects would not happen if you were going to wait for the other parties to come to that development, because the priorities tend to be out of sync from a point of timing, but also the availability of funds. So this grant allows the province to use 2% to deal with bulk infrastructure that then is bridging the projects between reality and otherwise stagnation. That infrastructure, Chair, from where we sit, augments the totality and the functionality of the settlement, as the case may be. Otherwise, we will not be building such functional settlements. Let me pause there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Those were the response. Do you have any...
Can I make a comment? Thank you.
No, thank you. That is thank
you. Yes, Chairperson. No, I was no. Just wanted to say...
No.
Okay, I'm not funny.
Yes, I'm not. Well, we're closing. I wanted if there's any other question that members feel is not answered.
Yes. Chairperson, can I come in? One question.
Yes.
No,
you're welcome, Honourable Member.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chair. Is it regards to the issue of farm work housing assistance? I don't think they've touched it. Can we please get the response? The target is zero. What are the reasons? Thank you.
Yeah, all what I wanted to say was that the presentation is refreshing. It's quite refreshing. Excellent. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Man, can you be in there?
Becky. It's Friday.
No, it's, I couldn't hide it.
Okay. Don't,
my apologies.
Okay. HOT, can you respond to the question as a member reminded you, or MEC? HOD?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We note what Honorable Mashala is saying. Maybe...
Honorable Mashala, not Mashala.
Mohlala. Honorable Chair, we did indicate that in the current financial year, we have no target with regards to farm worker assistance program. I did indicate that both the EPHP and the farm worker assistance program, there was no target. Hence, it is reflecting the APP as zero. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, HOD and the MEC and the team. We thank you for the presentation. We will continuously engage with yourselves as we monitor the implementation of the business plan as we have presented to us through the national department. So thank you very much, honorable members. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, everybody, and again this meeting by saying have a nice weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Don't leave the chair.
Thank you.
Don't leave.